Is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax. Not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The InfoWar continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Better news for today's War Room Live. Unfortunately, I don't. Ladies and gentlemen, the Wicked Witch of South Carolina has won another election, defeating Mark Lynch and remaining the preeminent power block in the United States Senate. Of course, I'm referring to Lady Graham, or Lindsey Graham, as he or she is known colloquially, right? We're going to go ahead and get into this story today and a number of other ones. I'm really looking forward to later on in the broadcast being joined by special guest and congressional candidate Jose Vega, as well as talking about the situation in the UK and the situation in the Carmelo Anthony Austin Metcalf trial. But before all that, you may have noticed, you've seen me on the network before, I'm sure, I'm a little bit buttoned up right now. Okay, get him off the screen. Let's look at somebody with some style, all right? Check this out. A friend gave this to me, a very tall friend of mine. He's like, hey, I wore this jacket in like a junior year of high school because I was like, I'm too broke to go to Men's Warehouse right now. I'm like, I got to find something. And bang, bang, boom, I just had the right fit right there. That's because you got great friends and great family and great people around you. I'm here in the studio today because of that and many other reasons. So I just wanted to shout out Seth. Thank you so much for letting me borrow your jacket, letting me have it. Fits me like a glove. So let's go ahead and get into the top news today, which, of course, is Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, apparently, you know, apparently the boomers are this powerful, received 150,000 votes, receiving 58% of the votes in the Republican primary, with Mark Lynch, who is a distinguished gentleman, he's been interviewed on the network before, receiving 70,298, reportedly at 27%. So, as a young person, as a 23-year-old man, I have to look at this situation and go, is the boomer power block truly insurmountable? Because, of course, this doesn't just happen in a vacuum. This is kind of a series of victories in the primary elections on the side of the GOP, where we have real America First candidates being swamped by a neocon swamp Zionist creations. People like Ed Gallarin, people like Lindsey Graham, even radical leftists like Jamal Bowman have been primary because they don't support Israel enough. This is what we're running up against. Lindsey Graham, it's everything they want and more. He's a person that can be blackmailed. He's a person that can be controlled. He's a person that probably enjoys it at the end of the day. Exactly. Senator Lindsey Graham wins primary over America First challenger. You can go back to 2 years ago. Crew, see if you can find this. You can go back to 2 years ago, Trump saying, I wish I didn't endorse Lindsey Graham, and the only reason why he's a senator is because I endorsed him. Well, are we supposed to believe the Donald Trump of 2 years ago, the one that promised us no new wars, economic recovery, cheap energy, cheap LNG, low inflation? Or are we supposed to believe the Donald Trump of now, who says that the bubble wand wielding bandit is a MAGA and we are not? So I just, this has a personal sting for me because I wasn't born yesterday and I remember all of this. And I remember back in 2015, Lindsey Graham, basically, I think he was at one point running against Trump. And to go from their discourse now to their discourse back then, it's completely intolerable. We can't accept this level of incongruency from our political leaders. They can't just switch up on us and say, hey, you know, I was calling this guy an evil swamp creature neocon demon 8 years ago, but now he's my a chuckle buddy, my good buddy. It's all in good fun. They're friends because they're grifting. They're friends because they're stealing. They're friends because they're taking us to war and everyone else hates them for it. So they have this shared group identity and like, oh yeah, we're bad. We're evil. We're destroying the planet. We're stealing the money. We're paying the MIC. We're selling our military off to Israel, literally merging it. Section 224, which I'm going to get into Friday. All of it, they're united in that evil. And then normal, regular people, even people that have worked in that system their entire lives, like ex-military individuals, they look at it and say, whoa, what is this? Because they're not serious people. Lindsey Graham likes to say, oh, I'm a veteran, blah, blah, blah. Lindsey Graham is a combat lawyer. That's what he used to call himself. That's what he used to brag about. What does that mean? Well, it means, you know, he's allowed to say he's got some knowledge of the armed forces and this, that, and whatever and whatnot. It's kind of a license for him to send your sons and daughters off to war. After all, you know, he served. He was the combat lawyer. What are the people that had like 8 combat deployments or 11 combat deployments like an Anthony Aguilar or Joe Kent say about the conflict, say about the crisis? They're crying for it to stop. They're calling for it on all platforms and they're doing a great job of it. What does somebody like Lindsey do who's not a combat veteran, who has no combat experience? All he does all day is lobby for young men like me and young women. It's all inclusive with him, although he likes the boys more, I will say. I think that's well known. He wants us to go fight and die in the Middle East. And regrettably, that's what people from South Carolina voted for. So I'm very interested in the third hour to interview and just do phone interviews, do phone call-ins. Of course, it's a radio show on TV. People that are from South Carolina, because I want to ask you, how does this happen? Okay, I've done a little bit of background research, so I can speak to it. I am aware they're in the top 10 in the nation for boomer population, and that's a whole thing. I had a boomer debate yesterday. I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But when you start to think of it as like this entrenched power block, and you're like, why are they there? We know that voter fraud can be real. We know that mail-in ballots can be fraudulent. Look at the Democrats. Look at what they did, especially in 2020, all right? I think that's pretty much, you know, widely open to interpretation, but now agreed with. So theoretically, on the same side, if there is an entrenched neocon power block, maybe they could use some of the same tricks, you know, to push some people over the hump. And Lindsey, you know, I think it's safe to say, you know, even if they added a little bit more sugar to the tank was already full of sugar. All right. 150,000 votes, 58% of the vote. He won by more than double. So you can look at that and go, well, you know, maybe it is what it is, whatever. But you look at Massey and look at Ed Gowron, right? Ed Gowron is somebody who, you know, all those medals he has from being a special forces person. Here's the thing. I'm a total civilian, total pacifist, total hippie, you might even call me. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to go advocate for a war that I'm not going to go fight and die in. And I think everyone that's using their military credentials or special forces, Marine Corps, all that to say, hey, you need to go fight and die. They're being paid by Israel and other places to say that, other power groups. I think you're disgusting. And I think your military medals are just refrigerator magnets. All right. I'm going to play you a clip of a guy later who is our ambassador to NATO talking about, oh, you know, we got to go in. We got to do it. It's all a lie. We never stopped going in. The war has never stopped. We're going to get into all that. But I want to continue on with Lady Graham, Lindsey Graham, because it deserves this attention. It's like bigger than his or her birthday. Okay, imagine you get the endorsement from the corrupt neocon power block. You get Donald Trump to endorse you as well. You apparently win the election. What's up? Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Give me a tip. Go.
All right, I appreciate it. I didn't see it in the mirror. My dad's coming in saying I got something on my face. That's a fun way to derail the show. Give me one second, guys. Let's get back into Lady Graham and his response. I don't see it. Do you see anything on my face besides sexiness? I don't see it. I see a scar on the back of my head where my sister tried to kill me when we were little. Yeah. All right. All right. I appreciate it. Let's read Lindsey Graham's reaction. Let's read President Trump's tweet reacting to Lindsey's victory. This is from Trump. Congratulations to the Senator Lindsey Graham of the great state of South Carolina on his big win tonight. With almost 60% of the vote against a large field of very capable candidates, there will be no runoff. Yes, Emperor Palpatine has been coronated. Senator Palpatine has won his 29th election in Naboo. All right, of course, always. He always wins. Isn't that interesting? Now Lindsey will be able to devote his time to passing the desperately needed and long overdue Save America Act, President DJT. So you see how it's all a mafia deal? You see how it's all, hey, I endorse you, so you endorse me, you know. We kind of go that which way around. I need you to pass this legislation, this whole thing. That's the swamp. That's what the swamp is. The swamp is deal making. The swamp is grifting. The swamp is, you know, power politics and insider trading. That's what all these people are involved in. So, of course, they're brothers. They're soul brothers. Like, seriously. Seriously, it's crazy. And, of course, he says, thank you. And then this is straight from the putrid mouth of the sewer that is also known as Lady Graham, Lindsey Graham, announcing he's won. Thank you to the big guy God. Lord have mercy. I don't think he's talking about any God that you and I know about. I think he's talking about, you know, a little demon creature that he serves. Thank you to the Republican primary members for your confidence in me and rejecting garbage. So America First policy, anti-war policy, pro-peace policy is garbage. Mark Lynch is an incredible candidate. He should have been the senator from South Carolina, not Lindsey Graham. To my South Carolina team, my dear friend, ooh, Senator Tim Scott, Governor McMaster, Congressman Fry, Wilson Timmons, and so many others, thank you. To my dear sister and her family, I'm forever grateful for the way you stand up for your brother. On to victory in November. Lady Graham. And then he's got the bigger statement, which I will also read. It's really disgusting, so go ahead and get ready for this one. And it's too small to do overhead shot on. From Lindsey Graham's campaign, one thing was made crystal clear last night. South Carolina's Trump country, not Tucker Carlson country, Thomas Massett country, Marjorie Taylor Greene country, or Joe Kent country. Damn, if that don't tell you who they're afraid of in 2028, I don't know what does. That's the whole Rosetta Stone right there laid out for you, baby. Like, it's all laid out right there. They're afraid of Tucker running. They're afraid of MTG running. They're afraid of Joe Kent running. These are the titans. These are the people that are coming in that have the potential to self-actualize into the position of being what Trump was in 2016, but for real this time and in continuity. Okay? That's what people like Lindsey Graham, like Sauron is afraid of, you know, the ring going into Mount Doom. Those are the people he's afraid of. This loud but small group of isolationists, anti-Israel and anti-Trumpers were soundly defeated by a candidate who embraced, who embraced President Trump and his true MAGA agenda. So the true MAGA agenda is war in Iran, rampant inflation. It's going to hit 4% really soon, by the way. Homeless people on the streets while we're paying for settlers to burn Christian towns in Tel Aviv, or not Tel Aviv, in the West Bank and the settlements and you name it. That's our isolationist foreign policy. You're damn right. We want to be out of those countries. Bernie Sanders, aligned wing of the Republican Party. So just anybody anti-war, they'll just call you a Democrat. It's the same way I was on the show last time. And I covered when they literally, I was watching Hannity with my grandparents. They run an ad for the data center. And they say, if you don't support the data center, you're a Democrat. And it's the same thing. So, okay, so if I'm anti-war, then I'm
now Bernie Sanders. I've turned into Bernie Sanders because I'm anti-war.
I don't think that's how it works. I voted for specific policies that my candidate, once they become the position holder, completely neglects, throws in the garbage, lights on fire, and then laughs in my face. And then that's what, and that's the thing is like, if that's MAGA, I don't want to be MAGA. If that's MAGA, then I call it MIGA. Okay, make Israel great again. That's what it should say on the new hat. And the new hat, instead of being red and white, should be blue and white to represent that very simple fact. I'll continue reading it. Also, it was made clear that nobody in South Carolina cares what Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks when it comes to electing a Republican United States senator. But they care a lot about what President Trump thinks. What do you think that's going to be like after, you know, a year or two more of war, ruthless conflict, the money's already been printed. So, you know, the anvil's already dropping down from space onto our heads. It just hasn't broken the atmosphere yet. What are they going to make of Trump then? Is that why you're singling out Joe Kent, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, and Tucker Carlson? Because you have to destroy their image now with the little bit of credibility you still have left? This is just like Bush having like the highest approval rating ever after 9/11 and then it crashing down to all the way to the bottom of the barrel, you know, once the war started and actual things weren't easy like we said they were going to be, right? It's literally the same principle. The result comes after months of attacks from candidates seeking to position themselves in opposition to President Trump's agenda and the conservative coalition that has defined South Carolina Republican politics. I guess that's all 80-year-old people that want to bring on the apocalypse before they die. I guess that's the coalition in South Carolina. And I want you guys to call in and tell me if that's true or false. We're taking those calls in the third hour, by the way. Throughout the campaign, Senator Graham highlighted his record of delivering for South Carolina. Yeah, delivering body bags, delivering dead bodies, supporting all of the wars and wanting more of them. Yeah, that's support. And he thanks his team again. On to victory in November. Of course, it's a total joke. He'll win already. He's just laughing in our face. And then we got this gem from Trump. It's the Mario Newfall clip about inflation. The journalist asked the question, are you concerned about the latest inflation numbers that came out this morning? Trump says, no, I love it. I love the inflation. I'm not joking. I have the clip for you. We're going to show that here in a second while I wait for them to pull it up. Want to let y'all know, Graham Plattner has won the main U.S. Senate primary as well. Don't really care about that one too much, just letting you know it happened. But would we have the clip ready? All right, let's throw the clip.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now, something you didn't know. You know, we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil. Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran until right now.
All right, so he's just cap artist lying, you know, whatever. He says he loves the inflation. He doesn't love the inflation. He knows the inflation is going to sink the economic recovery, and he knows that that's what people voted for, right? So if we're not going to get that, and instead of that, we're going to get Americans coming home in coffins and rampant inflation, that's not cool. He doesn't love it. It's not going to immediately go away. It's going to take a bare minimum of 6 months to totally reopen the strait, even after the conflict is over. And guess what? The conflict just restarted. It never stopped. All right. We've always been at war with Eurasia or whatever it is in 1984. Let's go ahead and go to Sagar and Jetty in his commentary. I want to read this to people because I really agreed with what he said. Let's say what Trump said is true and roughly 2 million barrels per day made it through the last 40 days. That is roughly 10% of normal traffic at the cost of an Apache helicopter, several drones, and God knows, or God only knows how many billions a month it costs to sustain the blockade. So I'll give you some numbers that are conservative, but I know them to be correct. Okay? So we're looking at over $100 billion that have been spent. We can pull up the live debt clock for the war, spending clock for the war. Y'all can find, of course, it's an estimate, but it's well over $100 billion or just at $100 billion at this point. Last time I looked, it was $98 billion. We've lost over 40 aircraft, okay? Well, that includes drones, all right? Well, when we lose one of these drones, we're losing like $65 million. Okay, because it's both the drone and like the specialized transceiver responder that goes inside it. The drone, I think, costs like $35 million. The other thing costs between like $15 and $25. I got my buddy co-host on Gray Area. Y'all got to watch Gray Area, Tim Tompkins. He knows a lot about these types of things, and we talk about it. Look at that. Look at that. And then you think about the $100 billion, and that's just a drop in the bucket. It's just a drop in the damn bucket to these people. I mean, it's literally boomer-occupied government. They say Zionist-occupied government. I call it BOG, not ZOG. Boomer-occupied government. And to my wise boomers out there, your elders, I really respect you. Anybody can be a boomer. Anybody can be possessed with the spirit of neocon foreign policy. Look at that. I was trying to be conservative. I was trying to be a good journalist and a good boy and give you the correct answer. It's $107 billion, bare minimum, and that doesn't take into account the billions of dollars of radar systems they've destroyed. All the air defense we've used, CNN throws the number out to 55% of our stock. Larry Johnson, as my dad says, CIA analyst, who's basically never wrong, and I'm his number one fan, by the way, would be wearing a Hawaiian shirt, except my dad told me to wear a suit. He says it's more like 95 to 99%. And if you look at the amount of missiles fired versus the amount of PAC-3 and Patriots and everything that we make, the THAADs, it's simply too expensive and we make too little of them. We should be out already, okay? And that's why we've been pulling them from other countries like Japan and South Korea. Now, does that sound like patriots are in control to you? I know that's a QAnon thing, but like seriously, people on the internet, they believe in this garbage. And I heard my dad and Stuart talking about it, and I totally agree with their points. It is it's a white rabbit they pull out of the hat to distract you, right? Obviously, Jeffrey Epstein is running 4chan and 8chan and doing all these things. We know this now to be confirmed. So we'll get into more news here. Coming up on the break, I want to let y'all know, where is it? Okay. We got a sale on this bad boy right here. At a sale on the Ultimate Life Force, you want to get this triple action spike protein detox. This has so many amazing things in it that do wonderful things for your body. The key thing I want to zero in on here is the NAC, the N-acetylcysteine. You got things for spike protein and all sorts of other ingredients here, the natokinase, which is so amazing for scar tissue and other things. But the key to remember about Ultimate Life Force, your body makes glutathione, the master antioxidant, out of N-acetylcysteine. So when you're taking an N-acetylcysteine supplement, you are literally refueling your body and providing it with the master materials it needs to regenerate itself, provide optimal cell and mitochondrial health. Basically everything you can mention. Let me give a little breakdown. What is a supplement? Let me tell you what a supplement is. A supplement, a dietary supplement, is something that you take to replenish something that you already need in your body, or it's a hormetic stressor, adaptogen, or a herbal product that has a mechanism of action. You know, I'm not going to say it's a drug. I'm not a doctor. Certainly it's not a drug. It's a dietary supplement, but it has a mechanism of action in the same way. Oh, I eat protein. Protein has a mechanism of action. It makes me put on muscle. This stuff has a mechanism of action. It's going to help you clean out your body. It's going to make you feel really good. Total body recovery. We love this formula here. We all take this ultimate life force. I wanted to plug that for you real quick. And of course, I would be remiss to broadcast without my little buddy, my Methylene Blue. And, you know, people were commenting. They were saying, Rex, you can't interview Joe Kent in a Hawaiian shirt with a blue tongue from ODing on Methylene Blue before the show. And I say, okay, maybe I can't do it in a Hawaiian shirt. And maybe I can't do it with a blue tongue. But maybe I can do it if I take the capsule form of Methylene Blue that we have. Look how beautiful and perfect that is. Maybe I can do it that way. And you see, that's why we have the convenience of the capsules. And I want to remind people, lest they forget, Methylene Blue is super awesome and cool thing to figure out on your own. But I would highly recommend, you know, if you're taking the liquid, this is a really precise way to dose and get 10 milligrams every single time. So I highly recommend that. I want to remind people, we got all of that and more on thealexjonesstore.com. It truly is the best place to shop for a wide variety of things, not just supplements, but apparel as well. We've got some phenomenal shirts, hats, t-shirts, other goodies, other treats. I was told that the water filter is doing so good that we might be out of it soon, or we might already be out of it. So a little inside baseball there. Oops, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But you guys want to get all the amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. So with all that being said, we have to support ourselves. We have to be in this fight because unlike everyone else in media, nothing has been given to us here. You know, it's so funny when I go to these other media organizations or I check out these other places, I see all these other people interact and it is all corporatized. It is all controlled and there's secret money, you know, coming from somewhere or whatever. Like when I go into the Blaze, I'm not accusing them of anything, but I mean, it's the house Glenn Beck built. We used to trash Glenn Beck in my family. Apparently now everything's all kosher. Pun intended. But when it comes to Glenn Beck, I go in there and I'm like, this place is like three stories tall. I get everybody kind of sitting around, but yet it's empty. They got a giant stuffed polar bear here. You know, we got 20, 30 people working, hustling all day, every day, doing this because they love it. I do it because I love it. I wouldn't be in the studio any other way. So when I bring you the products, like my dad says, a good salesman, the best salesman sells you the best stuff. It's not even that. I would be doing this anyway. And I'm a supplement manufacturer and white labeler and shipper and seller and e-commerce guy online in my real life. And that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years. It's only now in the past 7 months that I've come back to broadcasting because the news is so dire, so bad, and people need to be aware of it. But how do you get the news? How do you get this critical information? You get it by supporting places like the AlexJonesStore.com and like the Alex Jones Network and buying the amazing products we have available for you if you can afford them and if you need them. I want to remind you right now that we've got a bunch of sales going on, so go check out the URL. I will be right back next segment with it promises from Israel Katz, promising more strikes, Trump explaining the helicopter, and Alex Karp, Palantir, saying it's very precise in the way it does war. I'll see you very soon. Thank you for being here on the War Room. Rex Jones News on Twitter, Rex Jones News on Instagram. Follow me, contribute, really appreciate it. My heart goes out to you.
Have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got, like, copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. We are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Doing the show, the good old afternoon show. For those of y'all that don't know, I'm also live in the morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on a program called New American Journal. I just, you know, renamed things a little bit and I'm still around. Let's go ahead and get into the news as I see it's displayed. This is the latest from Trump this morning. Iran's military, I'll read it in voice.
Iran's military is a complete and total mess, let's face it. Much of it, like their Navy and Air Force, doesn't even exist anymore. They have been completely defeated.
So, is the strait open or is the strait closed? The strait is still closed, so they're not completely defeated, are they, Mr. Trump?
Iran is al-talk and no action. The bully of the Middle East is dead.
All right, so cut back to me. Let's go ahead and analyze this. The bully of the Middle East is dead. Now, you know, Trump makes these prophetic statements, you know, talking about Lindsey Graham, talking about neocon wars, talking about anybody that does a neocon war in the Middle East should be impeached. He makes almost these prophetic statements. Now he's saying the bully of the Middle East is dead. Well, maybe perhaps that might happen to be us, you know, because it's been proven that we have a military with a highly advanced but still highly limited offensive capability, and it really can't defend itself, protect its bases, protect its allies, protect its troops, protect its allied countries, even, for that matter. So that's what we're dealing with, and that's where we are. So am I supposed to believe that, you know, the bully of the Middle East has been defeated, that's Iran? No, the bully of the Middle East that's been defeated has been us, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why the best option has been and always will be, and I'll continue to say this, declare victory and go home. That's all we need to do. That's all anybody and everybody needs to be talking about right now. Everything else can be figured out later. Declare victory. Go home. Trump, you're going to face consequences for this. You're going to face punishment from this. You may be saying, well, I'm 80 years old and I'm going to be out of office and I'm going to be retired. They won't come after me. They're going to come after you. They're going to come after everybody. That old quote you used to say, you know, about they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. Well, here's the thing, man. Even when you sign on to their team and do their bidding and be their Renfield, even when you become the neocon that you swore against, like Anakin Skywalker becoming Darth Vader, they're still going to throw you away. You're still going to be chopped liver. I bet after all this, Trump is still screwed. And, you know, his greatest allies, his greatest supporters, people like Tucker, people like MTG, people like Thomas Massey, people like Alex Jones, people like all of us, right, that carried water and supported Trump genuinely for years because we believed in it. I believed in it, man. It feels like believing in, like, My Little Pony is real or something like that now. Feels like, you know, Transformers cartoon is real. It's like, yeah, as a kid, oh, I think that's real on the TV. No, it's not. And, you know, kind of just as a direction, I asked the producers to compile me the latest Trump tweets. And I literally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Some of these are White House. 6. So you literally, if you're an old person, this is how you have to understand how, this is how the propaganda works. You can tune into the Trump news channel and never tune out of it, right? In the same way that I tune into like a Dialogue Works or a Due Dissidence or a Glenn Deason or a Judge Napolitano, people tune into just Fox News or whatever, you know, parrot or whatever grifter, and they'll just watch that guy tell them all day that Trump is awesome because they want to believe in the mythos and the victory. The reason why Trump is still polling at rallies and doing the things that people come and they're excited to wear the hat is because they're excited to wear the hat. They're not actually excited to fix the country. Those of us like me, my father, and other people in the organization, other people, you know, across media, across various platforms, everywhere, we are not happy that we have to do this right now. We wanted things to be fine. We wanted what we voted for. I voted for Trump twice, and the first time he ran, I was too young to vote for him. I would have voted for him there too, right? It's not about being anti-Trump. And when they say, you're never Trumper, you're an isolationist, you know, you don't want to protect the country, you don't want strong foreign policy. And it's like, well, who's the foreign policy strong for? Is it strong for our country who's lost $10 trillion? Lady Liberty's lost $10 trillion in the Middle East and Ukraine. Or is it smart for the, you know, little piece of dirt that's the size of New Jersey over there in the Middle East, over there in West Asia, Levant, whatever you want to call it, Israel, who essentially has received, and they have received, this is a fact, the most foreign aid out of any country. Okay, it's them. All right? So it's a great deal for them. It's a great deal for them to defend their country, defend their nation. So why are we paying for it? And why is it MAGA to pay for it? It's not. It's MIGA. And I just got to say, MIGA, are you serious? MIGA, please. You cannot be serious right now. It's like Dr. Umar in here, okay? You cannot be serious. You cannot sell us a bill of goods for two entire campaigns and two entire terms, the first and second one, 2016 and 2020. You cannot sell us this bill of goods, and then the second we give you power back, you just go in there and waddle around and throw your gut out and screw everybody. That's literally what this is. This is like, you know, hey, we're going to a house party. Come on, get in the car with us. Go for a ride. And then you arrive and it's a prison and you're about to be gang raped by, you know, aliens from outer space. And you're like, when did this happen? When did I agree to this? I thought we were going to a prom after party. I thought we were going to a function. And they're like, well, actually, no. The alien has to probe you. And if the alien, if you don't want the alien to probe you, then you're a Democrat. And you're like, what? Like, what is even going on here? So these words have lost their meaning. And for Trump to say, you know, the bully of the Middle East is dead and all this after he literally did a press conference in Saudi Arabia 6 months ago saying no new neocon wars in the Middle East. Well, I would just call that self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's go ahead and get into this. Israel promises more strikes. Let's go to clip 14. Clip 14 right now. This is Israel Katz. I believe he works closely with Ben-Gavir as well. Okay, pause it. All right, I don't speak that. So just go ahead and go to the caption on the video, because I think it's captioned what he said as well. I'll go ahead and read it. Basically, Netanyahu is saying the same thing as well. The attacks will continue and they will escalate. And Netanyahu is even calling for color revolution right now in Lebanon, and telling the people to rise up and take what's theirs, to take their future. I'm paraphrasing. All right, from Defense Minister Katz. It's so weird. Really quick, come back to me. They have Smotrich, they have Ben-Gavir, and they have Katz. I guess that's like Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, and then Tulsi Gabbard, kind of. I guess that's like their defense intelligence collective. Yeah, yeah, but they're not. Are they? It's so weird. I don't care. I don't care about the desert. Why should I have to care about the desert? Why should I have to learn these people's names? Why should I have to go think about fighting and dying over there and think about running to Mexico? Which I will, by the way. I'm not going to die in your foreign war for Israel. And there's nothing unpatriotic about that, by the way. Yeah, like, what the hell is going on here? Go ahead and pull up the tweet again. I'll go ahead and read it. All right, from Defense Minister Katz. We must not think that the work is finished. The campaign against Iran is far from over. If Iran attacks Israel, it will suffer a severe blow as it did a few days ago. The IDF is prepared to attack Iran with great force. And it's like your little brother going and picking a fight with somebody and then saying, hey, 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 you know, I'm picking a fight. I'm fighting him. I'm doing it. But then they have a shock collar around your neck and they make you do it. They can't do anything without us. They need our missile defense and our missile interceptors and our offensive capability. Need to buy planes from us. Need everything. Logistics, satellite, supply. And that's why with Section 224, they're trying to get fully integrated. So it's not just like, you know, paying a hooker. It's like the hooker moves into your house and signs a prenup and then she owns your property. Right. And then you own nothing. So that's what we got going on here. And these people are disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. To think that you would get away with this, to think that you would say, yeah, you know, America, we're going to merge militaries with you and take you over directly. And yeah, even though right now our president, President Donald J. Trump, the supposed most powerful man, leader of the free world, he can't negotiate with Iran because you children in tiny hats are over there trying to start another war. All right. I do believe, like Larry Johnson, I think he's correct, like my dad says, I'm his biggest fan, so I have to name drop again. Like Larry Johnson says, I think they do want a deal. I think the U.S. does want a deal. I think the Iranians do want a deal. It is Israel that is not going to allow that to happen. Yeah, look at that alternate reality right there. AI sure is crazy, ain't it? Take a little drinky-drinky. Super delicious, and I want to recommend... You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this now. I want to recommend everybody just some channels, okay? Daniel Davis Deep Dive, Judge Napolitano, of course, we love Judge Nap, Dialogue Works, Glenn Deason, Danny Haifong, who else am I leaving out? Garland Nixon, of course, the great Garland Nixon, Duran Report, Dave DeCamp, antiwar.com, going to have him on our show next Thursday. Really looking forward to that. Also want to get him on this network as well. There are so many amazing places we can just go learn that all this is fake and has always been fake since day one, because we have the real experts to talk about these things and to break them down and give the true critique. My goal, you know, not necessarily being an expert in geopolitics, although I am an enthusiast and I do care about it and follow it very closely. My goal is to make the connection between the domestic American public that is simply ignorant and they don't understand the causality of what's happening right now. So they don't have cause enough in their mind to be angry enough about it to demand change from their government. I want to connect you guys with the best experts in the entire world. And that's why the internet is such an amazing resource. It is all free. It is all available for you right now on AJN Network, where we have a lot of these people can't say the name of that URL anymore because we don't have it. Damn. But the InfoWars spirit lives on forever on the Alex Jones Network and all these other channels. My whole point being alternative media, like we were like a sproutling, a seedling, and then 1,000 other sprouts grew out, right? So you have this whole world and there's no excuse for not being informed and not understanding the very simple premise of, hey, this foreign government had enough power over our nation to take us to war. Okay, even though we explicitly voted against it. Let's go ahead and cut to this. Trump explains the helicopter, okay? And before we cut to it, let me give a brief explanation. So there's a helicopter and a drone got lodged in it, and the drone didn't explode, and they landed the helicopter, and oh, they fired the drone at the helicopter, so we got to go get Iran. It has nothing to do with Israel bombing Beirut and the retaliatory strikes on Israel and the escalation from Israel. It's all about the helicopter. You see, because Trump can't be seen as weak and can't be seen as commanded by Bibi Netanyahu, even though he is. So instead of living in that reality, the alternate reality we live in is
Top Gun. They shot the Apache helicopter down. Those damn Haji Muzzies. We gonna go over there and get them with Lindsey Graham and a nuclear weapon. We gonna solve the problem.
It's an excuse to escalate. I don't know if it was genuine. I don't know if it was a false flag. I don't know if it was a green flag. I don't know what it was. I don't believe it. It's faker than the $3 bill, just like everything else that's come out of this administration. He literally called himself the peace president and then now says he's a wartime president and casualties happen at war. And then I'm not MAGA anymore. I'm not America First anymore. I'm not a patriot anymore. I'm not a constitutional conservative anymore because I simply believe that that's bullshit. Radio professional, excuse me. Go ahead and cut to Trump talking about the helicopter.
Mr. President, on Iran, you posted this morning about Iran, and you said that they've taken too long to get to a deal. I want to make sure I quoted you correctly. You said that now they will have to pay the price.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that specifically?
Well, we're going to be attacking them.
Doesn't he just look like some grand old, we got these horny toads or horned toads here in Texas. He looks like one of those with the cracky, creviced face and tired eyes. And I bet he is tired. I bet the deaths of thousands of civilians do actually weigh heavy on him because I do believe he has a heart. He looks all blown out and weak and withered. He used to look strong and professional. He used to glow. Now he looks red. This is Uncle Sam. This is what I want you guys to understand. Go ahead and replay it from the beginning. I want to give more commentary. I'm going to break down every 5 seconds of this, basically.
Mr. President, you posted this morning about Iran, and you said that they've taken too long to get to a deal. I want to make sure I quoted you correctly. You said that now they will have to pay the price.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that specifically?
Well, we're going to be attacking them, very hard.
Resuming bombing?
We are. Based on the helicopter, I guess we have the right to do that. You know, they shot down a very incredible machine. And at first they said they didn't do it. Then they admitted they did. It was sort of easy because we have the bomb. We actually have the bomb. Got very lucky that bomb didn't explode.
Now, when he says they admitted they did it, that's just like when he says, hey, we say that we're negotiating with them. And the Iranians are like, we're talking to the Pakistanis. We're not talking directly to the United States. I can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth because he's been proven to be a liar. Like over and over and over again. Go back to it.
Bomb was lodged in the helicopter. It didn't explode. It was on fire, but it didn't explode. Those two guys, they knew how to fly, but they got very lucky. And then we had the unmanned boat going very, very fast at speeds that you wouldn't want to go. That's why it's unmanned, I guess, because nobody can go in that. But they rescued. So both people are, fortunately, the pilots are okay. No, look, I've been working with Iran for a number of months, and they should sign their deal.
Pause it.
It's a good deal.
So, again, the ignorance of the American public, what is a part of the deal? A part of the deal is requirements for the safety guarantees in Lebanon and getting the IDF out of there, all right? The Iranians have identified that as a non-negotiable item. They say, hey, get the IDF out of Lebanon, stop bombing Beirut, and then we can have negotiations, we can have the 60-day ceasefire. The Israelis are the ones that broke the ceasefire. Then the Iranians responded. Then we found an excuse to get involved. And now we're bombing all the islands and doing all these things. You name it. Watch somebody like Ryan Dawson talk about it, or Larry Johnson, or Pepe Escobar, or Anthony Aguilar, for that matter. It's insane what's going on. You have this situation with Trump. And then Trump is just like, yeah, well, you know, it happened. So it gives us the right to bomb them. Well, we've been bombing them. We never stop bombing them. When Israel bombs them, we bomb them. Do you understand that? When Israel bombs Beirut, we bomb Beirut, because it's not two separate entities. As is proven in Section 224, husband and wife become one body in the church. OK, it's the same way with the governments now, with, you know, this appointed czar that only has to answer to the president. That's essentially a new Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War. So when Trump says, I guess we have the right to bomb them, we're bombing them already. And this shell game PSYOP isn't going to work much longer on the American public, because the American public is starting to realize that the actions of the Israeli government are backed up by the actions of the American government and the funding of the American government. And people like Anthony Aguilar, people like Tucker Carlson, people like Joe Kent, they come out there and they explain this to people, and everyone just goes, whoa, that's so simple. I'm paying for what they're doing, and we can't control them from doing it. We can't stop them from doing what they're going to do, and we pay for it. Doesn't that sound like abuse? You know, like if there was... there's a girl or guy, and their partner was, you know, taking all their money and making them live on a shoestring budget. And essentially, you know, we used to live in a nice house. Now we live in an apartment, and all to subsidize their lifestyle. You know, some would call that unethical. Some would call that, you know, cruel. Some would call that wrong. Maybe not illegal or immoral, but wrong. And, you know, if the person that is being financially abused, like the United States of America has been financially abused, doesn't stand up and do something about it, then they must be complicit in it, right? And that's our government. Those are our boomers. 60 out of 99 senators are baby boomers. That is that power block. It's been the dominant voting block in America for the past 30 years. When you look at the greatest generation and you compare and contrast the two, the greatest generation folks, their grip on power, 15 years, most of them retired in their 50s and 60s. The boomers are 70, 80, even 90 years old and still trying to hold on to power. And what do they believe in? They believe in everything Trump says. We have the right to bomb. They believe that we can do it, that we can win. They must never have a nuclear weapon. So in order for them never to have a nuclear weapon, we kill the Ayatollah, the guy who banned the nuclear weapon in 2003, and now it's looking like some sources like Larry Johnson and Pepe Escobar, who I referenced earlier, it looks like they may already have the bomb. All right, so that's a little bit of a spiel. It's just some stuff I've been thinking about lately. We got more news. I got an India story. I got some genocide ethnic cleansing stories. Really quick, actually, go ahead. I don't think it's labeled as a video clip. Let's just get it prepped for the next segment. Israeli senators are burning Teba in occupied Palestine. This is a Christian settlement where Jesus walked, okay? And there's video of them burning it down. When we back the Israelis, when we back them in what they do, I want to explain this to people. Do you know when the settlers come and take over land in the West Bank from the Palestinians, when they steal it from them, they burn down and rip out their olive trees? Okay, now you go, why would you do that? You want the olives for yourself, to sell them, to make money, to eat them, whatever. That's not what ethnic cleansing is, okay? And that's because it's ethnic cleansing, ladies and gentlemen. Ethnic cleansing is what they're doing when they burn down these 2,000-year-old cities. Ethnic cleansing is what they're doing when they tear out the olive trees and remove them. They're trying to remove those people's mark from the land, stamp it out, and make it their own. And you can say, well, you know, we did that to the Native Americans. And I would go, yeah, it was wrong, okay? And you have to acknowledge that very simple fact about reality. However, that's the 17th, 18th century. We're talking about today. In the 21st century, where you have a cell phone, and you get live streamed genocide, war crime, ethnic cleansing, and the American public is still too ignorant and illiterate to rise up and do anything about it peacefully, politically, nonviolently, just because they don't know. 54% of Americans read on a sixth grade level or below. That should terrify us all. So the goal of these shows, and people always say, Rex, you're just talking. Alex, you're just talking. Tucker, you're just talking. Dave Smith, you're just talking. Whoever's just talking, right? Tim Dillon's just talking. The goal is to wake people up and start the cascade that flows like crushing water and drowns the fire, which is our country burning down and falling apart. And the goal is educating people, uplifting them, teaching them about history, teaching them about conversation. If you think what I'm saying is entertaining and engaging right now and informative to listen to, but maybe you don't understand some of the concepts or some of the factoids that I've mentioned, go look up these articles. Go look up these things. Go look up these crimes. And you can see for yourself that they actually happen, ladies and gentlemen. And knowing is half the battle. The pen is mightier than the sword. That's what we do here. This is an information war, even though it is InfoWars no more. Welcome to the Alex Jones Network. I am proud to be here as a host, Rex Jones. Thank you so much. We're going to be taking calls in the third hour, and in the second hour after the first segment, I'm going to be joined by Jose Vega. He's running against Richie Torres in New York's 12th congressional district. I'm a big fan of Jose Vega. Jose Vega has done some really good man on the street work, some citizen journalism, confronting some of these technocrats, some of these big Zionists that are in bed with all the war money and all of it. And he has that connection, like I have that connection, to the street, and understanding that when you put a microphone in these people's face, because they're empty suits, because they stand for nothing, you can just easily crush him. And I think he's got a shot to win. I really hope that he does. And I'm going to encourage people to check out his website, check out his campaign. And that's Jose Vega. He'll be joining me. I also want to keep you appraised on Friday, prospective, I haven't checked my phone yet. It's on Do Not Disturb. We got a double feature. We got a double header. We got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming down the pipe. Okay. You know what that is? That's Joe Kent and Anthony Aguilar. You know, if they both confirm again, they're both confirmed to come on, but we're still working out the date. It's looking like Friday, third hour or second hour of War Room. So you are not going to want to miss that for the world. We're going to be breaking down Section 224. Anthony Aguilar worked at the GHF for a little bit, I believe, or he was around it. He took some of the most harrowing footage that you've ever seen. We're going to be breaking down how that's real, explaining to the public, hey, this isn't AI. This isn't CGI. This isn't Hamas propaganda. This is real. This man was a Green Beret. This man had 8 combat tours. The man's a damn space marine, all right? An army or whatever. Total civilian noob, whatever. I look at these people as heroes, right? It's literally Master Chief, okay, from Halo. It's literally a Space Marine from Warhammer 40K. You got these people telling you, hey, this is horrible. We got to stop it right now. And then you got the Wicked Witch of the West from South Carolina flying in on the bubble wand telling you that war is great. So who are you going to believe? I'm going to present that choice to the American public. I think you're going to side more with the Anthony Aguilars, Tucker Carlson's, and Joe Kent's of the world, Nick Fuentes's of the world, and less on the side of Lindsey Graham, Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal, and even at this point, sadly, President Donald John Trump. I will see you all in the next segment. I want to remind y'all a little bit of a shameless plug, but I got to do it. I got to eat too. All right. I got to tell you guys about what I do for a living. I'm a supplement manufacturer. I'm a white labeler. I'm an e-commerce. I'm in fulfillment, all of it. Nose to tail, when you order a product from me, from the time you click on the button to the time it arrives at your door, even before when it's made, I control the entire process. I've got 50%off.com, and that's got classic knockout sleep support on it. If you look for that product, hundreds of thousands of units sold. Okay, a bestseller on InfoWars store for many years. People know it for a reason. 9 botanicals. It's got the magnesium added as well, melatonin, everything. That's 50%off.com. I've also got the classic toothpaste on there with the iodine and the tea tree oil that you know and love. If you click on the supplements tab, you'll see I've also got the charcoal toothpaste that you know and love. And here's the deal. I was running a huge fulfillment center doing like 2,000 orders a month for, you know, big company. I won't name what company they are. And they let me go. They said, hey, we can get it for a dollar cheaper. And I said, hey, you told me we were going to do this together and to open a fulfillment center. They said, ah, well, it is what it is. Here's the deal. If you're buying toothpaste from Dr. Jones Naturals, you need to buy it from me. That's all I'm going to say. Buy your toothpaste from Rex Jones at 50%off.com. Buy your knockout from Rex Jones at 50%off.com. Buy anything and everything basically that you can imagine at that store and at JonesCBD.com. I'm an American businessman. I've been doing this all my life. I've been doing this for the past 5 years. I've had 50% off. So that's longevity. That's real time in the game. And everything I make is because I care about it. I want you to get the best products for the best results. We're going to be right back after this break. I really appreciate everybody. Going to continue on with the news on the war, on the inflation, and on the increase in the CPI, as well as the terror in Britain and the Austin Metcalf trial. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
My life. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the War Room. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones, leading you through today's broadcast. We got Jose Vega joining us in the next segment, running against Richie Torres in New York's 12th Congressional District. We're looking forward to having that conversation. But I want to give you the rundown, true to the show's name, of the war and what's happening right now. As of the morning of June 10th, 2026, the broader 2026 Iran war remains in a fragile, repeatedly tested ceasefire phase since early April. No, we're back in total war. See the misinformation in this already? President Trump posted on Truth Social that Iran has taken too long to negotiate a deal that would have been great for them and will have to pay a price. He described Iran's military as a complete and total mess, all talk and no action, and completely defeated with much of its Navy and Air Force gone. So, with the clips we just watched in the first hour, with everything that we just reviewed, he says their military is totally obliterated and gone. Well, they hit us with the drone, apparently, right? So that would mean that their military isn't completely and totally gone, and that would mean that somebody's lying and that their name or their initials, rather, are probably DJT. Recent military activity. The U.S. and Iran have exchanged strikes. Iran reportedly targeted U.S. assets, Fifth Fleet bases in Jordan. The U.S. responded apparently a downed helicopter drone incident with hits on Iranian radar and air defenses. No full resumption of major war reported. So that's BS. That's garbage. That's not real. The war has resumed. The war never stopped. The war is happening right now. Now, it can be argued, well, it's from the air. It's an air campaign. It's a bombing campaign. It's a missile campaign. Is that really a war? Or is it just a prolonged conflict? Well, it's going to reach a point where we literally run out of bombs, right? We'll never run out of ones to fire. We'll always be able to make those. Look at Vietnam as an example. But the ones that we use to defend ourselves, I want to make this very clear if people understand. A Patriot missile costs between $3 to $4 million, and a THAAD, air defense battery, the really advanced ones, they cost between, I think, $12 and $20 million, right? Not to mention the radar systems that cost anywhere between How much are they? How much are they worth? I think it's 300 million or 600 million. I was almost going to say billion. I was like, that's the wrong order of magnitude. That's not correct. They've hit look up the exact number of how many radar systems they've hit. Our THAAD batteries, our Patriot batteries, basically can't operate without these things. And when I show you that big number last segment, when we get into the Iran war, and we're talking about the cost to you, the American taxpayer, the American people, the $107 billion, that doesn't even take into account, like I'm talking about right now, the missile and radar defense system. So, of course, you know, this is so crazy because I thought it would actually give a good rundown. I can give a better rundown just based off the knowledge that I know. We've been hammering the islands. We've been hitting Keshem Island as well. All of this stuff is happening. I heard Anthony Aguilar describe it as, you know, you're getting ready for dinner. So you set the table, you put the napkins out, you put the utensils out, you get the cups, you get the water, maybe get the appetizers, set it on the table. And then what's going to happen? You're about to eat dinner. Or maybe it was Larry Johnson, I forget. That's what's happening right now. We've got a, you know, movement of airborne troops, people that have been deployed for a very long time, forward deployed. So what's going to happen with this coalescence of forces that are in West Asia, that are in the Levant? Well, obviously nothing good. Obviously the only thing that would be good they could do would be to leave, right? We all know this. In fact, that's what we voted for in 2024, at least what we thought we were voting for. they probably gonna die. They probably gonna die in ground invasion. And I'm not happy about that. I don't support that. I've been open about that from day one. Of course, I'm anti-war and I despise the war, but the notion of a ground invasion, like Lindsey Graham famously, see if you can find this really quick. It's probably a classic clip. I know you guys have it. We did Iwo Jima, or if we could do Iwo Jima, we can do this. That is the mindset. I believe it's look at how many soldiers we lost at Iwo Jima. Go ahead and get that up. And this is the guy that just won, to take a callback to like the first 5 minutes of the show when we're talking. This is the guy that just won the election. If we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this. Throw it up on the screen when you have the number. How many American soldiers, how many Marines and sailors died on that godforsaken island? How many Americans died? Should be an easy stat for us to see when we come in next segment. Thank you so much. On the War Room, Rex Jones.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene Blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Lindsey Graham is coming for your sons and daughters. Get ready.
Today on the War Room, we're talking about that and a lot more. I was just getting into, you know, the warmongering neocon behavior. We're going to have a guest on here very shortly who's very against all of that stuff and really breaks it down, lays down the law, and does man-on-the-street confrontations with the very man that he's running against. Of course, I'm referring to the illustrious Jose Vega, who's running against Richie Torres in New York's 12th Congressional District. So we've got him. We were talking about Iwo Jima, right? Because Lindsey Graham famously said, if we could do Iwo Jima, we could do this, referring to taking Karg Island. So go ahead and throw that number up again. Let's see how many Americans died. It's always a cute and cuddly number. You know, this is what Lady Graham supports. This is what people voted for in South Carolina. During the 36-day Battle of Iwo Jima, that's just men constantly dying, nearly 27,000 men died, approximately 6,821 U.S. servicemen, mostly Marines, like the Marines we would send in now to take Karg Island, to take those beaches and airfields, and Army Rangers as well, of course, and paratroopers, estimated 18,000 to 22,000 Japanese soldiers. There ain't even going to be Japanese soldiers to fight. It's literally going to be Americans getting off boats, getting off planes, getting off helicopters, and then come back to me. The Shahid drone, the Shahid drone, the demonic lawnmower, just going, and you can listen to a true military man like Anthony Aguilar or Joe Kent talk about it. These troops, they don't just get there in isolation. They have to be restocked and resupplied. They have to have things coming to them to survive out there. It's 105 degrees. It's over 40 degrees Celsius. So they're just going to be getting bombed, taking meaningless land. Iran doesn't care. Hey, take this for a few weeks, a few months, whatever. We have enough bombs to bomb you for the rest of the year. So what is the calculation being made? It's certainly not a calculation made on our benefit or on our behalf. It's certainly a calculation made on a foreign government, a foreign power that wants that war to happen at all costs. And I want to remind you, that's why left, right, center, I don't care. I'll support any political candidate that's anti-war and can prove they're anti-war. That has a true justification, like take a Joe Kent, for example. Like my wife, and Lord have mercy, died in a war manufactured by Israel. That's what it says in the letter. And people say, oh, whatever, work for the CIA, blah, blah, blah. I trust that. It doesn't get more real than that. The same way, you have to look at somebody like Jose Vega, who's out there on the street, and he's willing to go to these people, to go to these neocons, to go to Richie Torres, to go to these big events, and to call out the big money. Because, hey, calling out the big money and calling out who's starting all the wars, that ain't good for your life, ain't good for your career. Let's go ahead and go to this Jose Vega clip. Once again, the Democratic Party is about to send another $8 billion aid package to the Nazis in Ukraine. Congressman Gregory Meeks has proudly introduced the Ukraine Support Act. He wants to allocate another $8 billion so we don't have to spend in what is actually an expanding NATO war in Russia. We must defeat the war party and declare our independence. We'll cut to that shortly. Of course. Of course we're giving.
You give me more money, people forget about Ukraine because no war start, but I am Zelensky. I will tell on Lindsey Graham for, you know, killing a prostitute allegedly.
That's just a joke, or I don't want to get sued. There's a total joke doing a Zelensky impression.
You know, but we need the $8 billion and we need nuclear weapon.
It's literally like a supervillain or like Gru from Despicable Me, and we're giving him money. Zelensky is like a Kevin Spacey type character. Literally, he played the president on TV and then got the job because people voted for him on that basis of trusting him. You cannot make this stuff up. Of course, he's a CIA creation, a Victoria Nuland creation, a John McCain creation. You can literally watch. See if you can pull this up, Crew. It's one of the many things I've asked for today, and I apologize for being so scrambled, but the rundown's a little bit janky today. See if you can find John McCain, Victoria Nuland, and all the rest of them sitting up in the Ukrainian high-rises watching and laughing as the Maidan coup is happening and as the city is burning down and as the neo-Nazis are taking power. And this is where we can have true left and right unity because, you know, here's the deal. We shouldn't be in this war with Russia, this proxy war with Russia. When we complain about the Russians and Chinese helping Iran, well, it's the pot calling the kettle black. We're helping Ukraine with all the targeting, all of it, deep inside of Russia. Dad interviews Victor Boot about that all the time. And I had a Ukrainian journalist on. I had a guy on the Gray Area show. And I highly recommend everyone go subscribes to Gray Area. That's Gray Area Talks on YouTube and Rumble, also on X, the same name, New American Journal as well on Rumble X. Go find it. It's all linked to me. And he's like, yeah, well, the Russians have lost way more people. Not true. Obviously not true. And, well, you know, the thing he really, I got to call BS on this, and we'll have him back on, so I'll talk to him about it. He said the Oreshnik is just a thing that kind of explodes and doesn't do anything. The Oreshnik is a nuclear-capable MIRV missile, okay, that we can't stop that moves at Mach 10. All right, so it's not nothing. And when they display it or when they use it on a target, they're saying, hey, we can touch you. And if we can touch you with this, we can hit you with this for real. So whenever somebody has an agenda that coalesces with the Kevin Spacey House of Cards president of Ukraine, I have to call BS. And from the perspective of Putin, you can watch Putin, Lavrov, Medvedev talk about it. They say, listen, this is a Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. NATO cannot promise not to expand one more inch, which they did, and then absorb 12 more countries and then move up right to our border. Where do they have the second most NATO exercises out of any country? Ukraine, which is not a NATO country, but it's a pseudo-NATO country, and that's all that matters. Let's go ahead and go to the Vega clip.
$8 billion are about to be sent to Ukrainian neo-Nazis. I am not kidding. My name is Jose Vega. I'm running for Congress in the 15th Congressional District. And yes, you heard me right. Democrats are sending money to neo-Nazis. They're the ones proposing this. There's a game that's being played in the Congress right now. Congressman Gregory Meeks has proudly introduced the Ukraine Support Act. He wants to send $8 billion that we do not have, that we will have to borrow to spend in order to help NATO in its war against Russia. This is genius, isn't it? So we're supposed to keep funneling money into what's become an expanded NATO conflict with Russia, including British, American, and other special forces that are on the ground there now, even as Russia moves to the final phases of the war. It's winning on the battlefield and in the air. See, the British media is saying the opposite. On May 27th, Reuters ran this headline, exclusive, senior Ukrainian commander sees imminent turning point in war. That senior commander, Andrei Belitsky. Andrei Belitsky is the founder of the Azov Battalion. Here's a quote from him. All our nationalism is nothing. A castle on the sand. Without relying on the foundation of blood, the foundation of race, and our deep conviction. All this is only derived from our race, our racial nature. Accordingly, the treatment of our national body should begin with racial cleansing of the nation. Ukrainians are part and one of the largest and highest quality of the European white race. The historical mission of our nation in this...
Important for people to understand, they view the Russians, just like Hitler viewed the Russians, as Untermenschen, as subhuman, right? So they're, in their mind, you know, they're doing the war to protect their homeland and kill all the subhumans. So, you know, just like the terrorists we back in the Middle East, just like the Israelis want to build the third temple and have the Greater Israel Project, we just seem to love these, like, radical, like, ethno-supremacist, like, theocratic terrorist groups, don't we? And we seem to like sell the narrative of like, especially on the left, they're like, we need to be liberal and loving and give all the money to Ukraine. And that, like, I would talk about that as like Vega is running against a lot of Democrats right now. And you look at it and you're like, lady, you say you're against colonialism. You say white people are bad. You don't care about the genocide that's happening in Gaza right now. You don't care about this brother war that's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And like, they're brown in Palestine. They're brown in the Middle East. You don't care about them? Oh, no, no, no. The white man in America is so bad, so evil, so whatever. But oh, no, no, I'm a Zionist as well. And you're like, what? And that's the thing, is like the cognitive dissonance in people, it's either been programmed in them, or they're just that ignorant, or they're just that dumb. And I had a boomer debate yesterday, and it'll come out in a few days. And the lady is not a boomer, but like I say, you don't have to be a boomer, and not all boomers, hashtag not all boomers, hashtag boomer lives matter, hashtag please don't attack me old people in the street. Cause I do love you. I really do. She's like, well, I'm a Gen X, whatever, whatever. And that makes me older than you, young man. And I have more life experience. And like the nature of the debate was like, are boomers responsible for today's economy? And I took the affirmative. I'm like, yes, the past 30 years, dominant voting bloc. They voted for all the new wars. Bill Clinton became president and was the first guy to actually lower the national debt. Boomers presided over the period where we had massive wars and expansion following that. After that, they've held on to power much longer compared to other generations as well. All of it. And she just goes, well, you just don't know about astrology. You just don't know about the stars and the signs and the colors. And I'm like, woman, do you smoke crack? Are you high right now? I said this, and I tried to light one up and blaze one in the studio to show her just how ridiculous she was, because I'm laughing at it. This is supposed to be a serious debate, and you're talking to me about astrology and the age of Aquarius, and that's why, you know, the boomers have no moral culpability for what they voted for and what they've done. And I'm like, huh, this sounds an awful lot like when I was talking about people shooting into crowds, the IDF shooting into crowds at the people going to the aid centers, the Gazans, the innocent civilians. That sounds like when I told the boomer that, the boomer just goes, hey, it's life in living color. It's not shades of black and white. And what is it? Just like the astrology, it's magic. It's meaningless bullshit. Really bad habits from streaming early in the morning. I will say, I have been finding myself wanting to curse a little bit, but it's all meaningless garbage that's designed to be a cop-out for somebody so they can have cognitive dissonance, right? So like when you watch a Marvel movie, you obviously don't believe that Captain America can jump over like a 12-foot wall and can throw his shield through like three cars or whatever, right? But you're able to, in the movie, say, okay, they did the super science experiment on him, gave him the super soldier serum. Now he is Captain America and he can do these things. That's the same way with these people's worldview, whether it's, you know, worship stolen valor from World War II, what their parents did, or it's, you know, some weird magic thing or whatever. They don't want to look at it. Okay. There's an 800-pound gorilla elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it. These people don't want to look at it. So we're going to have Jose Vega on very soon. Really looking forward to having him on. Like I said, give exposition there. I want to get into a bit more news here. Let's talk about news. All right, let's talk about, well, news. Because we're the real news. I'm the real news. Alex is the real news. Tucker is the real news. Like, that's what Nick Fuentes is real news. Joe Kent is the real news. Dialogue Works is the real news. Judge Balatano is the real news. Glenn Deason is the real news. Daniel Davis Deep Dive is the real news. Larry Johnson is the real news. Pepe Escobar is the real news. Danny Heifog is the real news. That's the real news. But let's get into the fake news, because it's very interesting. Like I say always, InfoWars, a company that was so successful and literally spent all of its profit, all of its money on its growth, which is why it was that successful, versus these lost leaders that literally, you know, CNN just gets sold over and over and over and over again because it's garbage. It's garbage. It's trash, as they would say in New York, as Larry David would say it or whatever, right? It's hot garbage. And now we got Barry Weiss running the show, apparently. I'm going to read this. CBS boss Barry Weiss posed to oversee CNN editorial operations report. Ben Sherwood, currently CEO of the Daily Beast, another failed publication, and a former CBS president, David Rhodes, are also under consideration, according to the report. She gonna get the deal. She gonna get the money. This woman got like $100 million. She got like a Rogan-ass deal off of having a show where she got like 11,000 live views. Not live views, like views in general. Like putting out videos, you get 10K views, and you get paid $100 million. By that logic, my dad should be a trillionaire. Based off our old YouTube channel with billions of views, right? But of course, you know, she's been put in that position because it's what she's been given. She's an empty suit or an empty dress, whatever you want to call it, man or woman. A CNN spokesperson declined to comment. The Post has sought comment from Oppenheim, Sherwood, and NBC News. Spokespeople declined to comment. All five candidates have extensive experience running large news organizations. What does that mean? Just being a funnel for like the CIA and the Mossad and whatever they want to push on the people?
Their experience running a large news organization.
Their experience pretending to work, pretending to send emails, sitting in a suit, and the guy who comes in with files and says, here's what you read off the teleprompter. And she goes, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp. I'm Barry Weiss, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp. It's not a real job. Okay. It's not a real job. When your tiny little crappy podcast gets bought out for like $140 million or whatever it was, it's around there, similar number. And, you know, you just get infinite media jobs. And not only are you running CBS, but now you're going to run CNN. You're clearly somebody's baseball card. You're clearly somebody that's been put into that position because of what you're willing to do for the system, for the organization. And of course, the organization is not the company and is not even the multiple companies that you're working for. It's the grand overarching desire to control our media, control our speech, control what you see, control what is normalized, control what is hated, control what is loved. That is why these people are in this game. They're not in this game like I am because I was 8 years old, you know, watching people do this stuff and I was inspired to do it. And I was talented enough to actualize it and make it happen. That's not why they're in the chair. She's not even in the chair. She's behind the scenes running the people that are scamming you, that are reading off a teleprompter and lying to you, that are the recipients of big pharma ads, of big ag ads, of big data center ads. That's the money. That's where she gets her money from. All we ever did was sell you a darn supplement bottle. And we're the criminals. We're the grifters. Give me a break. We got organic love. We got a big crew, a grand fleet. These people have nothing. They couldn't get 10 people to fight for them if they asked. I go to any city in the country, and if my car was broke down or if I couldn't afford to eat, I could go to a small restaurant. I could find somebody with a T-shirt or just kind of look the right way, and I could get some help because we're a family, and we're together, and we have that relationship because you've known me all your life. You've known me since I was 8 years old, since I was younger, since I was six, doing my first audio stuff on the show, you name it. Like 17 years, guys. I know you. You know me. You don't know them. And that's why they want to get rid of people like us that have that original connection to you. They want to separate it, make it all corporatized, and they want to make the millennials the new boomers, the Gen X the new boomers. Oh, it's moderated now. It's free speech. She's for free speech. Oh, but she denies the genocide. She denies the war crimes. She covers it up. She's paid huge money by David and Larry Ellison to, you know, to be in this appointed position that she put that out. Crud, I guess I should say. I should be the Fox News director, I guess, or the CNN director, or the CBS director, because I have so much more experience, right? Because I actually have to do the job. I actually have to prep the show. I have to actually do the show. I actually have to practice what I preach. And there's a screen right there where I can see my face in the supplement bottle, what's mirrored in front of me. There ain't no teleprompter. I got articles on the table that I'll reference that I've gone over that are printed out. I am talking directly to you 24/7 live time mind muscle connection. All right. These people don't know what that means. They got no concept of it. They got no concept of being the man in the arena or being the woman in the arena or being the whatever in the arena because they're not in the arena. They're in the expensive box seats. Okay. And they're trying to get rid of all of us real people. That includes you, the audience listening to us, because when you're their audience, you won't be real people anymore. You will be cattle to be farmed. Epstein says it in the emails. He calls you goyim. Okay. That is what you are to these people. And that is not an exaggeration. You do not deserve the right to use as much AI computing as they do. You do not deserve the right to enjoy the benefits of all the war crimes like they do. You do not deserve the right to have access to the truth and the real information like they do. You are just somebody that they're going to lie to. They're going to show you a Pfizer ad and they're going to get paid $500 million. Whereas I have to bust my butt. Grind literally all the days of my life to sell supplements, to sell apparel, just so that we can fund the broadcast and keep the little flame alive. And when people criticize us about plugging and what we do on air, and I encourage you right now, go to thealexjonesstore.com to check out all the phenomenal deals, apparel, supplements we got for you. When people criticize us for doing that, nothing makes me angrier because you don't understand. You truly don't get it, do you? We are our own sponsor. That's what makes us real. That's what makes you fake. All the people with news articles and news clips on the nightly news talking about us all my life. All these people were given what they have. They're empty suits. They have no talent. I can go sing for my supper. I can go do stand-up comedy. I can go do whatever, right? They can't do anything because they're not talented. So why do we have people that aren't talented? Why do we have people that aren't capable? Why don't we have people that aren't real? Why do we have these people running our government? Why can't it be somebody with real business experience, with real military experience, with real educational experience, real geopolitical experience? Why can't we have the leadership that we deserve as a country? I think we can. That's why I advocate on both sides of the political spectrum for candidates like Joe Kent, candidates like Jose Vega, and many other people who are running or may run in the future that I encourage to do, because we all got to unite on the prospect of saving our country from another forever war. I want to remind you again, Lindsey Graham, Iwo Jima clip. Let's go ahead and roll that when we have it. If we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this.
The program has been obliterated, and they're running out of money. So here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island. Let this regime down a vine.
Is this going to, though, take Karg Island? Is it going to involve U.S. troops on the ground? Let me just read you something from the Atlantic. Does an assessment on that. They say U.S. troops may well take Karg Island. We believe their ability to do so, but only to endure ballistic missile strikes, drone attacks, petrochemical smoke, all without a reliable means of obtaining logistical support. The result could be a grinding war of attrition. They talk about how far away they would be from resupply.
I'm sort of tired of all this armchair quarterback, and this has been an amazing military operation. God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference when we talk about troops on the ground.
God bless the fallen. So that's what he has to say to you if you're the family of an American, you know, that died in these attacks, or if you're one of the Americans. God bless the fallen. Of course, the God that Lindsey Graham serves, the God that wants wars, debt, and death across the world, across the entire planet, is, of course, Satan or Beelzebub or Belial or one of these names that's used in the Bible. This is the wicked witch of the West that rides a bubble wand in on the wave of the Great Depression that hits the country. I tend to think that history rhymes. I tend to think that there's no reason for 2029 to be any different than 1929. Of course, what happened in 1929, the Great Depression. I think right now we're really in a gilded age. I think it's never been more apparent to people. The wealth disparity and wealth gap, the difference between rich and poor and what that means for how you can live in this country has never been more different. The boomers will deny this. The boomers will lie to you about this because they know. They know about their $50 rent. They know about, you know, their $25 grocery bill. They know about these things. Even people, you know, that were around in the 90s and remember what it was like to spend money back then. Again, for both the younger people and the older people out there, I am a Zoomer. I am 23 years old. I am bald as hell, but I am very young. Okay? There are people my age that had dreams that I knew that are now dead, that have OD'd, that have gone to jail, that have gone insane, that have committed crimes, you name it. You told the graduating class of 2020, hey, buckle up, buckaroo, better pull up those bootstraps and get ready because you're going to survive COVID. No, it's so much harder for us. And now you're telling those same kids they got to support a war, they got to go fight and die in a war, they got to go spend $200 billion in a war. We ain't taking it. We ain't taking it. And that message to anybody that hears me, anybody that will listen, your goal is to go out there, whether that's today, tomorrow, or the rest of the days of your life until we fix this problem. Talk to 5, 10, 15, 20 people a day. Message them links to the show, all of the shows. Tell them about the information. Those resources I gave earlier, DialogWorks, Judge Napolitano, and Glenn Deason, I would send those videos to anybody and everybody in your family. Wake them up now. We must start the cascade that flows like crushing water and drowns the fire. The burning hell pit that has become the United States of America and the U.S. Israeli Empire. We have to pour the water on it, and the water is being informed and drowning out the ignorance with the truth. That's what we have to reach as a nation. So people talk about talking, talk about yapping, talk about whatever, whether it's going out there and running for a political office, whether it's going out there and starting a Substack, an article thing, whether that's going out there and doing a show yourself, whether that's out there like Timothy Lastly doing the street protesting right in front of the Bill Gates Center. Any and all of it, man on the street reporting, you know, interviewing regular people, talking to them about the economy, talking to them about life, sharing your expertise. Hey, maybe I'm a plumber. Maybe I'm a welder. Maybe I'm a farmer. Maybe more people need to learn about being self-sufficient, you know, like we were back in the earlier times where, you know, a crisis might have been more survivable. So it's up to everybody, depending on what you can do, to go out there and share the most powerful resource that you have, which is your information. Okay? And that's why I come on the show and I tell you, you're not going crazy. You haven't been psyoped. It's not MAGA forever. MAGA is fine. MAGA is what we voted for. MAGA is peace. MAGA was liberty. That's the promise. MAGA was not forever wars. MAGA was not endless debt. I know you remember that. I remember it as well. We're going to come back to that with Jose Vega here in the next segment.
inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And let's be clear, though,
a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment of the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Something that I've been really enjoying doing with a restart of my media career is interviewing independent political candidates, you know, whether they may identify as Republican nominally or Democrat nominally. What we really all agree on is stopping the wars, stopping the spending, and stopping the genocide. I want to introduce to you guys, you may have seen him on with Harrison before, the great Jose Vega, who is running against Lindsey Graham, kind of on the reverse side of the coin, a Richie Torres, a man that currently doesn't represent the 12th District of New York. So I'm being joined by Jose Vega. Jose, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Rex. I'm sorry I'm in an awkward position. I just finished doing a major – I just finished doing Univision, which is a major broadcasting TV station. Beautiful. Here, which was – so we're in the big leagues, but I couldn't get to my studio back on time. So I was like, but I got to do this. I'm here for it. I'm here for you, man. And thanks for having me on. And thanks to the audience for hearing me out.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Look, we're both in suits. We're both in jackets. Look how professional I am. You saw me waddling around my Hawaiian shirts and stuff like Larry Johnson. But, you know, my dad said, you want to host, you got to wear the tie. So I even got that.
Oh, maybe, you got the tie too.
Yeah, maybe he wants to adopt Fuentes over me. I don't know, but I'm in a suit now. Okay, so you gotta love me. Gotta love me, Dad. We're gonna get into it all. You're somebody that I want to expose people to because we kind of get trapped in this mindset of left, right, like you're a donkey, you're an elephant, and we say no, like you're a human being, of course, but you know, you have to run against these candidates in these elections. Break down kind of what that's like from you as an outsider going against real, like entrenched power in the form of Richie Torres.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't actually start by becoming a political candidate. I was known for confronting politicians, and I didn't care what you were, whether you were AOC, who was voting to send money to Ukrainian neo-Nazis, or you were Mike Pompeo, who was responsible for killing people like Soleimani, or you were just any bloodthirsty neocon, or if you were a media figure like the New York Times, I confronted them. And I said, okay, I called those things interventions, and those videos went mega viral, and they would even be translated internationally. I was like, all right, now is the next formation of that. Now, what's the next evolution of that? I was like, let's take that principle into the electoral system. I believe that anybody should be able to run, regardless of their money, regardless of their status, that I believe that you should be able to harness the principles of this country that founded this country. We're on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country. I said, let's take that principle that all men are created equal and that we are endowed by our creators unalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes. So I'm going up against this guy named Richie Torres, whose coffers are full of AIPAC money, Wall Street money, crypto money, just the worst kind of money is behind this congressman. And I'm coming in there as a complete outsider. I'm not even associated with any, you know, approved leftist, quote unquote, approved. I'm not DSA, right? I'm not PSL. I'm just your average schmo who said, I don't trust anyone to represent me but me. And it has been exhilarating. People have tried to buy me. Literally, I've had people who brought me to meetings who said, Jose, how about we advance your career in exchange for you dropping out of this race?
Wow.
That's how serious it's gotten. I've had people slander me. I've had the top bigwigs of the Democratic Party, which I believe is the same thing as the Republican Party.
Yes, yes.
Slander the crap out of me and spread that I'm an anti-Semite around the Bronx. And they even threw in another candidate in the race to try to split the vote. And despite it all, we are still successful in our attempts. We go around the Bronx and we knock on doors and people recognize our name. People know who we are. And win or lose the Democratic primary, we're still going to be on the ballot for the November election because we qualified to run as both Democrats and independents. Because we're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're independent. And like you, I'm tired of this left-right dynamic. Yes. I want to do what's right. I want to bring the tension directly to people. And if that means I got to run in the Democratic primary to reach people, as I was able to do, I was able to have debates. I was able to go on Univision today. And also keeping to that principle of independent and get the signatures required to be on an independent ballot, we did that too.
Wow.
And so here we are on the 2 weeks of the primary. You know, there's 13 days left until voting day. Early voting starts this Saturday. We're about to flood the entire Bronx with our literature, our posters, our faces. You know, that is the operation that we're doing. Yeah, go ahead.
InfoWar, that's what it is, right? And you have to make that grassroots, ground-level connection with people. You're essentially running against, like, a NASCAR or, like, the trunks on, like, an old UFC fighter, right? Like, the person should have, you know, different patches and sponsorships and it all outlined. And then you're just you. You're just like, hey, I just want real change. I'm just a normal guy from the Bronx trying to actualize what I want based off the founding principles of our country. It's so crazy. We're at that America First United event, and I've never seen a group of people that pretend to, you know, love the Constitution, worship the Constitution, attack somebody more if we're just talking about the nation and referencing, you know, Declaration of Independence, constitutional documents. Like, it was truly crazy to me. You're somebody that really, you know, in me as well, it kills the notion of, you know, the left-right divide, left-right paradigm. When I, the son of Alex Jones, you know, raised in this right-wing ecosystem, my favorite show is Due Dissonance. What? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we can break this, people. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be, oh, Democrat, oh, Republican. How about American? How about peace? How about freedom? How about what was promised, right? They have to attach the label to it. They have to say Democrat or Republican, because Democrat or Republican, whenever they go in, they fail on the policy they promised. They say, oh, if you notice that, you're the opposite of us and you're not us anymore. You're not a part of the team. So it's all kind of this big PSYOP scam. What are some of, you know, the funding groups, you kind of laid them out, like crypto, war lobby, obviously neocon type stuff. Who exactly is, or what exactly is, Richie Torres as a corporate creation?
Yeah, well, he is exactly that. He's just an empty suit. You know, I found this out that in my district, which is the poorest congressional district in the entire country, by the way, the Bronx is the poorest congressional district in the entire country, only 3 miles away from Wall Street. And in that district, there is this group called NORPAC, N-O-R-P-A-C. And what are its goals? To further the relationship between Israel and the United States.
Wow.
To keep the technology between them going, to keep that foreign policy together, and to keep creating, elected officials who will continue to vote to keep Israel and the United States united. That is in my district. Think about that, in the poorest congressional district in the country.
Wow.
And that's who helped bring Richie Torres and keeps him in power. And not just him, but there's also, of course, AIPAC as well. And yes, the war lobby. And one point I really want to clarify to people is that the Democrats, who claim they're anti-war, could have brought a war powers resolution to the Congress at the end of March, just before they all went to Scotland. Cory Booker was seen in Hollywood during that break. And Meeks, who was the ranking Democrat of his committee, who could have brought this bill to the floor, the War Powers Resolution, he had the votes. Four Republicans were ready to vote with him. And he said, you know what? I'm just not going to bring it to the House floor. I mean, he was just completely disgusting. It goes to show you that Democrats want to prolong this war with Iran just as much as Republicans do, and that they are the same exact thing. They're the exact same thing. And I got to bring this up in a debate last night, which was shown to all, you know, the people who watch BronxNet, which is a sizable population of the people in my district, where my opponent kept trying to nail me for not being a real Democrat. And I said, yeah, because being a real Democrat today means you want war. It means you take AIPAC donations. It means you take war lobby donations,
yes,
and it means you want to overthrow, quote unquote, the Iranian regime.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, no. So
no, it's bizarre. And here's the thing. Like, you look at people on the left, these are people, you know, like if they're uninformed about what's going on, they're voting for the people that are pro war just because they think that they're Democrats. Oh, that means that you're pro peace. They don't understand that neo-Nazis took over Ukraine, and that Zelensky is literally like Kevin Spacey. He played the president on TV. We've given him like 200, 300 billion, whatever it is. All that's gone to, you know, collateral, like on both sides, 1.5 million people dead, right? So that's not being anti-war. That's not an anti-war position. In any one of these positions, we should be looking for peace and a compromise from day one, right? And that's never the attitude from people, whether they're on the left or on the right. It's the neocon spirit. Do you see a lot of that with people you talk to?
Yeah, and that's the sort of best thing about going into the Bronx, going up door to door, meeting people in the street, is that a lot of people are like, I've given up on voting because I know they're both the same thing.
Right.
Like, don't come to me telling me you're going to promise me posies and roses and rainbows and stuff. You know, I've heard that over and over again, year after year. I've given up on voting. Democrat, Republican, it's all the same thing to me. That's what the people say. And it's very refreshing when I can tell them, like, yeah, I agree with you. And not only do I agree with you, I'm here to disrupt the system.
Yes.
You know, and I just start calling out people who aren't even my opponent. I'm like, Hakeem Jeffries, you know, Democrats are expected to take the House back in November. One of the questions I get asked, it's like, are you going to endorse Hakeem Jeffries, who's the current House Minority Leader, as Speaker of the House? I said, he's no different than Mike Johnson.
Right.
They're the exact same thing. No matter what anybody says, And when people hear that, they're like, yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah, you know what? And here's the thing, right? A lot of people who are in agreement with me are registered independents. A lot of people don't know that, but the second largest voting group in the Bronx is not Republicans. It's independents.
Right.
So you have Democrats and then independents, and they don't even realize how powerful their vote is. So this November, if we don't take it in 2 weeks, this November can see a giant, giant sleeper wave coming where we upset not just Richie Torres, but the entire Democratic establishment. And we tap into that frustration and anger that the voters have in the Bronx, who are fed up with people coming to them with the same old, I'll lower the rent, I'll make groceries cheaper. How about we completely overturn the entire government apparatus that has been hijacked?
Yes.
And let's make it work for you again.
Yes, no, absolutely. Putting the American people first instead of, you know, the war lobby, military, industrial complex, surveillance state, or, you know, a foreign government, whatever that foreign government is, we don't care. We're Americans. We got to prioritize ourselves first because we're dying. I've been thinking about it, you know, just like I kind of write it off in my mind just because there's so many friends that have OD'd, friends that have gone to jail, friends that have lost everything due to just the past 5 years. And that includes both Trump and Biden, right? Both Trump and Biden. I've lost friends under both Trump and Biden now. So, you know, like, where's the promise of the future? Where's the promise of a, you know, a movement for the youth in America where they can actually afford to own a home, afford to, you know, have a nice car, afford to, you know, have a family, have children? Like, there's a lot of this talk, you know, of, you know, well, you know, we're kind of a modern society and people kind of live how they want to live, whatever. We need families. We need families to be able to afford to live, and they can't afford to live in this country. One of the videos you sent me, or one of the first videos I saw of you, forgive me, on Due Dissidence, was you're in this apartment and you've got this evil landlord or whatever, and literally the ceiling is falling down and like there's garbage water coming out. Talk to people about what it's like, you know, to be from, you know, where you're from and having to deal with some of these corrupt systems that politicians like this support.
Oh, yeah, man, that, you know, is something that still irks me to this day, because I had my ceiling collapse on me. I lived in a basement apartment in New York City in the Bronx, and my ceiling had collapsed in because there was sewage water that was pooling from the upstairs neighbors. It was pooling, and it became a big bubble, and then it all just crashed down. Yep, that's it. That's right. And, you know, that, and there was like these giant holes in my ceiling, and I was just like, this is just completely insane. You know, and so what I did was I went to my city councilman's office. I did what you're supposed to do, right? I went to him, and his thing was, okay, I'll help you initially by getting like a city agency to go out and inspect that. But like, realistically, he saw I was getting a lawyer. He saw I was, you know,
protecting
doing all
yourself.
The right things.
Yeah,
he thought I was protecting myself. He then says to me, okay, man, I see you're really making headway with this. What if somebody approached you with $15,000 and you just let all this go?
Wow.
You just forget about it. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, what this landlord did, first of all, $15,000 in New York City, maybe that can afford a move.
Right.
You know, it's pretty expensive to live here, you know. But what that landlord did, not only does he need to be brought to justice, I know that there are other people in that same situation. And so when I refused the money, right, mind you, this was 2018. I was like barely 20 years old. He just said, okay, cool, fair enough. He calls my mom later that night, who her name is on the lease, and intimidates her. This is an elected official who intimidates my mother and says, hey, man, you know, if your son goes through with this lawsuit, no landlord's ever going to rent to you again in New York, and you'll never be able to live in New York again. So you really need to consider what your son's doing. Next thing I know, she pulls out of the lawsuit. She pulls out of the case. She doesn't want anything to do with it, and she no longer wants to fight this anymore and says, let's just find somewhere else to live. So we were homeless for a few months after that, you know, because of the intimidation that the city councilman and his staff had exhibited on us just because we were ready to fight the system. And that right there was when I knew, like, okay, you know, the system is designed to not support people like me who want to overturn it. I was supposed to just take the money, shut up, and go, right? And I didn't. And as a result, right, so now I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm coming back to speak for those people and the people that's happening to at every level.
Right.
I try not to get bogged down by that and be like, oh, poor me. I got to remember, and everybody's got to remember, we do this for other people too.
Yes.
We do this because we are American. And what it means to be an American also is to stand up for people when they're being oppressed in the way they are.
Yes.
I'm a big believer that freedom is the ability to make other people free. I'm a big believer that that's what freedom is. And that's what I intend to do with my race and what I'm doing now and everything that I'm doing.
Yes. I think it's very fair to say the American people need to be emancipated, right? Like, we have become debt slaves. That is what all of this is. And in the greatest country in the world, you shouldn't be in that situation, Jose. You should have a government and a society that's able to, you know, be strong enough to where you're able to take care of yourself and it can take care of you in certain aspects. And here's the thing. When it comes to social services, when it comes to programs, when it comes to things that we talk about, you look at the war spending and you look at the entitlement spending. If we were able to actually make real changes in government that prioritize the younger generations instead of the older, I think you would actually see, you know, a degree of optimism within the youth of saying, hey, you know, there's something promised to me. You know, when I was 15 years old and I'm working in the warehouse and I get my first paycheck and I'm like, what's Social Security? Like, why'd they take, you know, $250 away from me or however much they took? And it's like, oh, well, you're going to get that one day. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be getting that money. Somebody's getting that money and it's not me. I think the youth of the country, not just from the economic perspective, like, hey, I'm paying in this program. I may be for social programs, but I'm not necessarily going to get it. When you combine that with, you're going to pay into a program you're never going to get. You're going to go fight off in a war that you didn't get a choice in fighting in. You're going to go watch your friends and family become homeless, drug addicted, psychotic, whatever, because the society doesn't have a safety net there to take care of them. Like, you're going to watch total and utter hell. And for what? To, you know, say we got a big military and that we're tough. That doesn't matter. People want to eat. And I think you understand that. Tell people where they can find you as well. I want to be clear. Let's get his website up. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'm a big believer also that government should actually work for people, sort of like what you were just laying out here. And I have a program called the Space Civilian Construction Corps, which people can read more about on my website at bookvega.nyc, where the idea is you take people who are between the ages of 18 to 30 years old, who either are high school graduates, high school dropouts, people who are college graduates, college dropouts, or even juvenile delinquents or nonviolent offenders. And the idea is that they go through a two-year work program with the Army Corps of Engineers and with retired union leaders, and they learn how to be engineers. They learn how to be machinists. They learn how to be the carpenters, the electricians, and to work on some of the most advanced scientific mechanical engineering principles that they can, you know, get their hands on and learn. How to master so that they can better society for all of us. Now, that's an example of government working for the people and the people working for the country as a whole. Because if the government is providing a program where people can actually get these practical skills, then it's the people that are building the cities that need to be built.
Yes.
There you go. That's my policy. It's the people, you know, building
human capital,
hospitals.
Human capital. Yes. No, 100%. And I'll go into that a little bit. This is so important to understand. The reason why we invented the plane, the car, the internet, all of these things is because we truly had the greatest engineers, greatest technicians, greatest artisans of the world, masters of their craft. And if you look at the way this country has been hollowed out, nobody knows how to do these trades or do these tasks anymore. And it's so vital people start learning. We have to become elite human capital. What do you think, Jose?
Yeah. And that's like how we're going to create what people have this idea of generational wealth. It shouldn't just be restricted to just your own family. It should be thought about in terms of a nationwide thing. You know, George Washington had this idea that we shouldn't be so divided and that we should strive for national unity and we should care about what the future of our country actually looks like. And so us as Americans should decide, what does the generational wealth for the rest of humanity look like for the rest of the 500 years after we're dead? Look like. And that's the sort of direction that we should be uniting behind. And that's how you can build real talent and really develop people's creative skills so that they can become better than what we could have ever imagined we could have been.
Okay, I got a follow up to that. So you're talking about creative skills and they come in a wide variety of forms. Something that I always advocate for is for people to go do citizen journalism, man on the street stuff. We referenced that at the beginning of the interview. We talked about a little bit at the top of the segment at the bottom of the hour. The reality is, yeah, it might feel uncomfortable, nervous the first time, but I imagine after you get a few of them under your belt, you're like, yeah, I'm really actually making a change. I'm making this person acknowledge, you know, the problem that they refuse to admit is real. Like, you're the man in the arena when you do that. And it doesn't just have to be a Rex Jones or a Richie Torres. It can be anybody out there with the power of the internet and the power of the phone. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. They use it to propagandize a lot of people to believe a lot of bad things. But also, you have the ability to actualize and get that message out there and communicate to the people in the same way a news network would. You are the media. I know Elon said that, but it's true. Like, you are the media now. And Jose, you made that very important step. What was the thing that finally made you stand up and say, I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm going to go confront these people?
You know, because I think, you know, years of being told you're supposed to go a certain way, you're supposed to do things the right way, and you start realizing that doesn't work. You just have to confront these people. You know, in fact, I didn't even start by interrupting people mid-speech or mid-presentation or anything like that. I actually was waiting at the podium. Like, when I confronted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I didn't intend on standing up the way I did. I actually coordinated with my friend. I was like, hey, man, if you get the microphone first, you say this, this, and this. And then if I get the microphone, when I got there, they gave us index cards and pencils and said, oh, yeah, the congresswoman will be given a set of questions from you guys. Just write them down. And then they like threw them in some bargain bin or something or some bucket. And wow. people were not considered. They weren't used, basically. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to get my question through. So I'm going to have to just, you know, stand up. And that's why I decided to stand up. That's why I decided to, you know what? Because I'm like, if I'm not going to be able to actually get heard right, I have to make myself get heard.
Yes.
And that's true for anything in life, too. You have to carve your own path. You have to make things happen because you have the power to do it.
Well, you're a student of the classics, as am I. Benjamin Franklin said, join together or die separately. That's what we got going on right now, man. We're all Americans. We got to join together on that fact. And the people oppressing us, the elite class profiting off of everybody else's pain. Well, that means they're not us. That means that they worship money and, you know, not trying to make a better society and a better America for its people. And I really appreciate you, Jose, for coming on the show. And I want to tell people again, it's a votevega.nyc.
VoteVega.nyc, and I'm just going to make a big plea here.
Go ahead.
If people can contribute, please do so. The limit is $3,500. You can't give more than that. So if you got that lying around, please do. But every dollar counts. We're actually trying to raise $6,000 by the end of this week because we have to print a whole bunch of my posters, a whole bunch of my cards. We've got a lot of motion. We've got a lot of things we need to get out. We have to get a bunch to people going up and down buildings, going out into the streets of the Bronx to get this message.
Right.
If you can donate, votevega.nyc, and volunteer and sign up to phone bank wherever you are in the country.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jose, for coming on the show. I think we're friends, met each other in person. I can't wait to see you again, to have you on the show again. You got to come on Gray Area soon. That's votevega.nyc. Everyone needs to go there. Hey, he just told you he's trying to wage info war. He's trying to get that message out there. If you're an info warrior, why not give him a buck? Why not give him 5, 10, 20? Who knows? Whatever you can afford, it's time to leave donkey, elephant, Democrat, Republican, left, right. It's time to leave that behind. And people that are out there standing up against the war criminals, standing up against the corrupt politicians, actually putting the microphone and camera in their face and holding them accountable, that's why I support Jose Vega for New York's 15th Congressional District. That's why I think you should as well, and that's why I think you should donate. Go to votevega.nyc. And it truly is incredible, ladies and gentlemen, how the post-Trump era is coming, how all these new young candidates, candidates with experience, candidates with gravitas, candidates that are just, you know, appearing out of the woodwork. I'm starting to see them now. Even 6 months ago, I was like, who's running for Congress? Who's running for Senate? Who's going to be the president in 2028? Well, I think it's getting real spicy and real exciting. Following up with your calls, I want to hear from you, South Carolina especially, after this break. Thank you so much.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! there is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Never a dull day on the War Room. You may notice the Bruce Falconer soundtrack, the DBZ music. That is because we are an original media company. We are a legendary media company, and we play what we want to on air. So thank you for joining me again. Your host, Rex Jones, of today's War Room broadcast. We're going to be getting into the latest from Pete Hegseth. I want to roll you a press conference where he just said a number of things. Pete Hegseth. Mr. Pete Hegseth did a press conference, and I would like to roll the clip.
CENTCOM, Central Command, will be busy tonight because President Trump said we will be hitting Iran hard, and we will be. Because Iran has a chance to make a good deal, a great deal, to codify what they said they've been...
All right, so it's all meaningless again, just like at the beginning of the broadcast. Iran has the possibility to make a deal. Well, we were in the middle of making a deal with Iran. It was about to get concluded, 60-day ceasefire. Then, boom, Israel blows up Beirut. So did Iran break the deal, or did the U.S.-Israeli empire break the deal? Now, of course, we argue, oh, that wasn't America. That was them. But it's like, you know, being Siamese twins and the entire world can see you can join at the hip. Go back to it.
I haven't been willing to do it, so... As President Trump said, they've been tap, tap, tapping. You can see when someone's trying to tap, tap, tap on a deal. Instead, they're going to have tap, tap, tap bombs dropping on key facilities in Iran from the United States of America.
Pause it.
And that's...
It sounds tough. It sounds cool. They're going to be tap, tap, tapping bombs on top of their head.
That's just like when Pete Hegseth at the beginning of the conflict, I think one weekend, said, we don't negotiate. We negotiate with bombs. Right? So how's that? How's the relentless bombing campaign working out for you? How's the Air Force general being in charge of everything saying that air campaigns can win wars, which is absolutely not true? You look at world history to prove that very fact. Look at World War II as an example. Look at the fire bombings and look at Dresden, right? Why is that acceptable? It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to me, and it shouldn't be acceptable to you. Go ahead and go back to Pete Hegseth lying to your face.
In Iran from the United States of America. And that's not because we want to restart anything. We don't have to restart. It's because the War Department is prepared to set the terms to ensure that we get the
Pause.
Kind of deal President Trump.
So the only kind of deal they're interested in is regime change, right? And when I say they, I'm talking about the Israelis, because they control our foreign policy. They take us to war. They're openly now trying to become in charge of our military, Section 224. They're going to have an appointed by the president. But come on, please. Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense, a Pete Hegseth equivalent that is above everybody else at the Department of Defense and helps Israel be in ascendancy in all factors of our technology, research and development, surveillance, intelligence, everything, right? So they're already in charge, but it's not concrete. It's not solidified in law. And when Eisenhower warned of the military-industrial complex and a power so pervasive, men talk about it under hushed breath lest they be overheard, when he's talking about that, he's just talking about our military-industrial complex. Just like the Founding Fathers didn't conceive of the smartphone and like the problems the internet would bring, I look back then. We were worried about our own military-industrial complex going out of control. much less somebody else is running our entire government. Go ahead and play the rest of it.
To ensure that we get the kind of deal President Trump expects.
To ensure.
And Admiral Cooper and the team here at CENTCOM has done a phenomenal job from the beginning on Epic Fury and through this blockade, ensuring that
sure,
we to reach that end state, which is Iran will have never.
Where's
have
the dope at, Pete?
Weapons.
I want some.
They don't want.
I want some of that Bubba Kush.
So close to that negotiation.
You're smoking
deal,
on it.
If that's the case, they should step up and do it. There's another thing that was revealed today by the president that the press has not been aware of, but certainly this building, the U.S. Central Command, has known, is that Project Freedom, the idea of running ships through the Strait of Hormuz, it never stopped. It just went underground. And so there's some things the public knows and some things the public doesn't know. But ultimately, we've been protecting commercial shipping going through the Strait of Hormuz, as the president announced, to the tune of over 100 million barrels that have moved through and more.
Pause it. Well, 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 he's just going to lie to your face. Oh, traffic in the Strait of Hormuz is normal. Okay, so we've got boats out there that are interdicting other vessels. We actually hit an Indian vessel just recently, and 12 of their people almost died or did die. We'll get into that story next segment. I am taking your calls. I love you. Rex Jones News, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Follow me on Instagram especially. I got no followers. Rex Jones News with a Z. I'll see you next segment.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Damn, well, maybe the clothes do make the man, because I'm feeling on fire today. We had a great Jose Vega interview, covered a lot of phenomenal news, bad news, but in a great way covering it in the first hour. And now I'm going to be getting on to your calls. I'm going to go ahead and give the number out to you guys. That's going to be 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642, 0642 instead of O, if you want that explanation. 512-266-0642. I want South Carolinians only, okay? Next segment, we're going to take calls from people from the UK, Britain, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, you name it, people from over there. But I want to hear from the people of South Carolina, how does this guy keep getting in? Like, why aren't all of you on the streets right now protesting? This is like Emperor Palpatine. This is like Saruman or Sauron or a Ringwraith from Lord of the Rings. This is like, I don't even know who a good cartoon villain is to pick. It's just there's too many. It's too much. He's too evil. How is he still the representative, in quotation marks, because I know he doesn't represent you, of course, but how is he still entrenched where you can't get him out of your system? So I want you to call in. If you're from South Carolina exclusively, please call in and explain this to me. I want to tell you guys about something, okay? So I'm a supplement manufacturer. I'm a white labeler. I'm in e-commerce. Like, I'm in fulfillment. I wear many hats. I've been doing this business for 5 years. I want to tell you right now about JonesCBD.com. I have the absolute best CBD. All full spectrum, all lab tested, all COA right there for you on the website, blended with the most amazing botanicals and supplement ingredients that you're ever going to find on the market. I've got Dreamwave PM on JonesCBD.com. It's $37.95. It's 1,500 milligrams full spectrum CBD combined with 50 to 100 milligrams of German CO2 extracted blue chamomile that contains the apigenin, which is GABAergic, provides that relaxation effect alongside the CBD. And then it's got 3 to 6 milligrams for a half ml, full ml dropper of melatonin in each serving. Nobody's going to give you a deal like that. $37.95 for a top rated CBD product that I completely formulated myself, made myself, ship out myself. nose to tail, the entire process I control. This product did not exist before I invented it. I've got it available at JonesCBD.com. I've been telling the guys at Big Leaf for a while, and the guys over, you know, wherever for a while, I've been telling them, I said, hey, you need a sleep product. You need a sleep supplement. So, hey, if they're not selling one right now, I'll let you know I have one. If you need melatonin, you need CBD, you need these things, I've either got Knockout Sleep Support at 50%off.com for you, or I've got Dreamwave available at JonesCBD.com. So I want to give that quick plug, and now I want to go to our callers. Actually, you know what? Really quick, I want to tell you, Rex Jones News with the Z. That is my X handle. Rex Jones News, same on Instagram, but I don't use it. I'm trying to build it up now. Gray Area Talks. Every Thursday and Sunday, I am live 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. for you with the great co-host Tim Tompkins, break down a lot of phenomenal news. And then in the mornings, every single day, for those of you that miss it, for those of you that are looking for the live stream still and can't find it, the New American Journal is here. I go live from my converted dining room studio every single morning for 3 hours. We do a phenomenal live show. Tim comes on. Anthony comes on. Phenomenal guests. The amazing thing. The whole work's got a switcher now. I got everybody helping me. It's so amazing. Come in for the big win. Join my media. Just follow, subscribe, check me out even. Just see if I'm worth doing that for. Because you know what? I think I am. So thank you so much for that. Let's get the callers on the board so I can see who we got. I kind of got document cam. Showing my scribbles here. That's what I'm looking at over there. But I'm very excited to talk to people from South Carolina because Lindsey Graham is foundational to everything that we talk about on the show. Lindsey Graham was somebody that promised to abide by term limits in 1992. I'm not good at math. I don't know how many years ago that was. Seems like a lot, right? Seems like a lot. How many years is that, Brainiac crew? I got to use the word side of my brain, not the mind side of my brain really quick. I got 33 years since his lie to leave. And I heard that from Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a South Carolinian colonel as well. Super huge fan of Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. Just want to shout him out. He's a hero of mine. Definitely need to have him on. Need to talk to Vega and that girl I met who works at the Eisenhower Institute. I definitely need to get him on. But let's go ahead and get on the calls with the other people from South Carolina. Bentley from South Carolina was involved in the lynch campaign. Bentley, you were on the air, my friend.
Hey, Rex, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
I was watching you this morning, actually, on your show this morning on the
I love it. Basis,
but I was dropping some stuff in the comments there in the live chat. But yeah, I was a volunteer. I helped out Mark Lynch. I met him several times. I, you know, went out and did door knocking and phone calls. Mainly put out a lot of signs and just right. Tried to spread the word of mouth and, you know, here on social media. Mark is a stand-up guy. It's absolutely nonsense. I want to just pay somebody to tell me that they actually support Lindsey Graham because I can't find one person. I work in North and South Carolina. I've been all over the state.
Wow.
And I literally can't find one person. If you actually look too, it's like the only young people that even support Lindsey Graham are just his staffers. You know what I mean? Like if you look at any single picture that you ever see him anywhere, it's always a bunch of old boomers. They look like they're half dead. They're not even present. Right. I'm not even hating on old people, but 100%. I mean, and if you look at the map, Lindsey Graham got over twice the amount of votes than Mark Lynch. It's absolute nonsense. Here on the ground, I can't even find one person that supports him. And then on top of that, the only county that they actually gave to Mark Lynch won two counties, which is Greenville and Spartanburg, the two counties right beside each other where Mark is actually from. And only by a slim margin. It's absolute. And then Lindsey Graham wins every single county by multiple points. I mean, not only is Lindsey Graham not popular in the state, he's not popular in the country. He's one of the most disliked people, I would say, on both the right and the left. Nobody likes this man.
Right.
So the fact that he would win with over 200,000 votes and double what Mark had, it's just absolute bogus. I don't even understand how we could accept this.
Yeah, it does seem faker than a $3 bill to me. Of course, the game is ha-ha-ha, can you prove it? And I think Lindsey knows he's going to die before he prove it because he's an old bastard. And, you know, he's only got, you know, 10, 20 years left. But he's going to spend that time that he's got left on the planet instead of, you know, retiring, instead of, you know, relaxing, instead of, you know, having a family or wife or kids or whatever. He's going to spend that time trying to take us to total war. So it's very disturbing that, you know, you're a staffer and you're like, hey, I've been all around the state, north, south, you name it. I just don't understand how he's getting, you know, these magical 150,000, 200,000 votes, whatever it was. What kind of infrastructure do you think it could be possible for him to have, you know, kind of like some Democrats, a lot of Democrats have done in the past where they do the voter fraud?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just absolute fraud. It's a bunch of I mean, there's, so the capital of this state is Columbia, and the nickname for it is Crooked Columbia. It's just absolutely ridiculous. The corruption here is, you know, so bad. We saw, like, a lot of fraud, you know, with Nick Shirley and stuff in Minnesota and California, but, you know, we need to, people need to come here. We need to, I need to do my due diligence, and we need to just shine a lot of.
Start broadcasting, man. Start doing the Tyler Oliveira type videos, the investigative journalism. We need that right now. People need to be shown what's happening in these places. And this is a call, not just to you, but to anybody else that's listening. If you're somebody, it's like, hey, I had this, you know, unique life experience, or like you, like were in politics or in media, or you engage with something, even if it was for a moment, like take that and push it forward and do what you feel inspired to do. Cause I think that comes from God.
Amen. Amen. Totally agree. And that's a, like you said, to everyone listening, I mean, we all need to step up. We all can complain. We all can you know, voice our frustrations. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to get in the arena ourselves. We can't just sit there and sit by. And I appreciate you and everything you've done. And also, anybody who's listening, also go get the supplements. You're crazy. We live in a toxic world. Everything's toxic. The one thing you can get that's pure is the good stuff that you guys bring from Alex Jones Network. So I appreciate you so much, man.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the call. It warms my heart that you're a morning listener / viewer. Really, it means a lot to me. It's always an honor to get to do this job for people, to get to actually sit in the chair and share with you like my political exegesis, my thoughts, what I believe, and then to have people, you know, identify with that, recognize something that they kind of, you know, they have similar within themselves, and we can kind of share that fire, share that water together. And that's how we achieve energy, and that's how we achieve victory. That's how we actualize what we want to see in the world. It's, we're doing it right now. Just talking about it is just talking about it, but that's the first step. And the second step is waking people up. Okay, so we're already doing the first and second step. I know we got a lot of new viewers here today. My name's Rex Jones. You may not have seen me before. I'm Alex Jones's son. All right, I've been around all of this forever. And when I'm here telling you in this chair right now, I never thought as a kid I'd be able to do this. I used to go in and do 20-minute taped reports and literally just like scream the F word and curse and like just be terrified to be in there. Because, you know, sitting in there as a kid, you're like, you know, I admire this. This is heroic. I want to work at InfoWars. I want to do all these things. But you don't truly get what it means until you're an adult and there's nobody protecting you anymore. And you realize nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to save this country. Nobody's coming to save us except for Jesus Christ, of course. And of course, we're Christians. We believe in that. But God helps those who help themselves. So it's up for us right now to make the decision that we are not going to be slaves. We are going to be independent. We are going to go out there and do the citizen journalism. We are all going to talk to each other again. We are not going to be afraid to name the problems, to name the degradation of society, to name who's doing it, the nation's nation doing it. Okay? Israel, Ukraine, and many others are profiting off of our dead carcass right now. Let's revive it while we still have time. I want to talk to Flash in South Carolina, who has a voting observation on why Graham keeps winning. Yeah, I had to take a little cough break there.
No, not a problem. I want to tell you, man, you're doing a great job. I've been pretty much following you since you stepped into those shoes and
I appreciate
been hosting it. And everything. Okay, now when I went to vote yesterday, and just about forgot to, I got so tied up with stuff, but I got in there and did vote. And, of course, rest assured, I did not vote for Lindsey Graham.
Right.
Or, as you say, Lady Graham.
Yes.
There was a woman in front of me. Now, I'm one of those, I guess what you would call baby boomers. I'm in my late 60s, but I'm awake.
You're a patriot.
And most of the people I know that are my age, they don't fall into the other category that
right.
thinks Fox News rules the roost. So, to long story short, this woman was in front of me, and but she looked confused. It should have been walking in there. They asked her, okay, who you vote, you know, Republican, Democrat. She was from a different planet. And
right.
I know when she went up there, she didn't vote. So this is what I took to deduce. And I watched this happen more than once. People have a familiar name stuck in their head. They hear, you know, Lindsey Graham, Lindsey Graham, Lindsey Graham over and over. And or they hear that name and says, when they get to the voting booth, that's what they're going to put in. Because unless they're astute and they've got in there and before they go in there know who they're voting for, they're out of gas, man.
Right. Right. So
there's something.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I want to hear more about it. Go ahead.
Well, that's my observation. And I actually called my brother and I said, man, you're not going to believe this. And he said, yeah, it's sad. Now, something I do want to mention, and I've spoken with Harrison. I've spoken with your dad actually before,
right.
Just called in randomly. But I've tried my best to get people involved, to get people in my state especially involved.
Right.
I run a website called patriotphonebook-sc.com.
Okay.
I'm trying to get people to reach out to me locally because this problem is not going to fix itself. You said that, and you're absolutely right. But this is not going to fix itself until people get together and can actually share ideas and say, look, you know, if I go and raise hell about something, I'm one person.
Right.
But if you got 40 or 50 people, 100 or 1,000 people doing it at the same time, calling the phones off the hook, showing up at these people's offices and protesting, then it's all.
Yes.
Good. Now, if you,
yes. Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. You know, here's the thing. Like, I look at it from this aspect of like, yeah, why aren't you protesting the people that are voting against you, that are taking your interest and throwing them in the garbage and serving, you know, a foreign government or, you know, some corporation somewhere. And that is the message. If you want to have effective activism, effective protesting, you got to go to the source. You can't address, you know, a symptom of the disease. You have to address the actual disease. And I think nobody represents like the festering boil of the disease that's on America better than Lindsey Graham, right? Especially it irks me, and not necessarily Southern, but is Texas. We are all from the South kind of together. It irks me to hear somebody with that accent, with somebody with his mannerisms, the way that he disgraces all of us collectively, this representative of like, you know, what a Southern American is or what somebody who lives in the South is. It's really disgusting. Do the people of South Carolina not see him as a kind of caricature? Like, I see him as like a carpetbagger, right?
Well, a lot of people see him like that. Now, I'm going to say one thing that I hope you'll cover this when I hang up.
Right.
I look at what happened in Ireland, what's going on over there, what's happened here with our open borders.
Yes.
I hear the people in Ireland, well, we got to unite. We got to go fight these people. We'll use that same analogy here for those who opened our borders and stole from us. Not
yes.
The people come over, but the people that allowed it to happen.
Amen. Oh, hold on. That's so key. I want to interrupt you there. You can stay on with me. Like, there's no time limit here. You're making such good points. My co-host was saying this to me this morning, Anthony Graffio on New American Journal, which I do every morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. He was saying this to me because I was angry. I was outraged. I watched that video of the attempted beheading, and it really made me mad. And I was looking at people doing what they were doing, rioting, and I was like, well, you know, cause and effect. And I was kind of like, well. But Anthony made the point of me, hey, listen, they're not protesting against, they're not doing whatever against the people they actually need to be doing it against. Like, if you were really serious, you go to Parliament, you know, and raise hell. If you're really serious, you would theoretically not encourage anybody to do this. But if they wanted real political action, they wanted real political change, you'd go to, you know, an MP's house and bullhorn in front of it. Right. That's what you would do. And that's what we have to start doing ourselves. And it's a kind of scapegoating thing where they bring in the third world to replace you and they make you fight the third world. And you and the third world don't even hate each other. It's just like the Siamese fighting fish analogy my dad always gives. Right. And that's a controlled paradigm, a false paradigm. And what's the thing about false paradigm? Somebody set that up. And I think you're rejecting that. Go ahead and read off that URL and tell people about what you're doing.
Well, it's Patriot Phone Book.
Patriot Phone Book?
SC for South Carolina, .com.
Okay.
And anybody that's in my state that wants to reach out to me so that maybe we can start gathering momentum with other people so we can reach out and organize, do it, whether it's calling people, whatever it takes to get people's attention. That's all this is about.
Yeah, throw that up, guys. Here, have some energy. Here. Throw it up. Patriot Phone Book, and that's the URL again. Read that off again for people.
Yeah. Patriot Phone Book, all one word, dash, not underscore, but dash, SC for South Carolina, .com.
Beautiful. All right, brother, you're trying out there, and that's what matters. That's our entire battle right now, is trying and being motivated enough to care about our society with everything else going on. Thank you so much, Flash, for the phenomenal call. Let's just go ahead.
People need to go after.
Go ahead.
People need to go after their leadership.
Politically, nonviolently, but yes, I totally agree. 100%.
Yes, yes.
We always got to clarify, and that's to protect us, and that's to protect you, because we all know the truth. We all know what needs to happen, but peacefully, politically, nonviolently, of course.
There you go. I'm sorry, I got a little bit of an echo with you, so I wasn't trying to talk over you. But thank you for taking my call.
100%, brother. Thank you for calling in. And that's the beauty of the InfoWar right there. That's a guy not just talking about it, doing it, trying to organize peaceful political protests against the leaders that are doing this to the country. And it's not the scapegoat class that's doing it. It's the actual people that write the laws and sign off on these bills and ultimately do all this to us, right? And you think about it, it's like, why is the senator from South Carolina, which is a state that is struggling immensely, why is he over in Ukraine, look it up, this is 100% true, spending reportedly six figures a night in hotel rooms? What's going on there? How is that representative of South Carolinian values? You know, I met people from South Carolina, they're great. But universally, you talk to them, you're like, hey, you got this guy riding a bubble wand stalking little girls at Disneyland like it's big game hunting. His name is Lady G. His name is Lindsey Graham. You know, and he supports endless wars, murder, death, and genocide. And they go, well, you know, I don't support him, and nobody I know supports him, and he's just mysteriously in office. Folks, we got to make a difference. We got to go out there and actually protest against these people. You got to go when he's running the general election, when he's having a rally. I want people out there with bullhorns reading out his war crimes, reading out the bills he signed on to, reading out the hundreds of billions of dollars that he has not just signed off on, but has directly gone over to these other countries and coordinated the deals of illegally. It's a crime. I'm forgetting the exact act, but I know it to be true. He's not supposed to be over there doing foreign policy. Right. He's a part of the legislative branch, not the executive. I think that's a very clear thing for people to understand. He clearly does not understand that. So that's a very interesting thing. Look at this. The crew is so good. What you're seeing right here is footage of the Maidan coup in 2014. And there's audio and there's more footage. You have John McCain. You have Victoria Nuland. You have others. I don't want to give bad names because I'm reporting the news right now. And I just, you get all the deep state monsters mixed up. You name it. Everybody is there celebrating, coordinating the plan. They made all this happen, and they sell you some ridiculous Star Wars story about the Rebel Alliance fighting the evil empire. And it's all garbage. It's all a bunch of BS crap, as I laid out to you before. We promised NATO would not expand one more inch after 1991. Russia, in good faith, dissolves the Warsaw Pact. We expand NATO and add 12 countries to it. And then we run mass military exercises in Ukraine and park long-range missiles in there, and the ethnic Russians living in the Donbass get shelled and war-crimed and ethnically cleansed, and oh, it's fine because Zelensky was the president on TV. I mean, we're smoking filtered crack in Washington. We're smoking filtered crack in Tel Aviv. Hocus-pocus, bongus-tocus in Ukraine. These people are all high out of their minds if they believe that this stuff is actually in good faith, and they believe they're actually going to be able to achieve it. Of course, they don't believe those things, and they have to, you know, as reportedly a lot of the European leaders do, use heavy amounts of hard drugs to cope with it. I mean, footage has come out of a Keir Starmer and Mertz. See if you can find this, where they got the mysterious white paper bag. And, oh, we got little lady Lindsay and Lutnick and Trump. Look at that trio of geckos up there trying to run your life and control the country. Is that what you voted for? Is that what you voted for? Donald Trump to be the maitre d' at the Golden Corral of Death? Lutnick to be his assistant? Lindsey Graham to be the bottle girl? Hell no! Hell no! Get out of here, Lady G! Get Lady G off the screen. We don't need to see that. That's like gore footage or something. We don't need to see that. That should be... ugh. Ugh! But... these are the people, like a Lindsey Graham, another kind of identical candidate, like an Ed Gowron, for example. They're able to get away with things like running AI ads of Thomas Massey with AOC and Ilhan Omar, of them like eating dinner and getting into cars and laughing together. And then that fools the boomer on the Fox News, I guess, to vote for him because they don't want to be a Democrat. And I'm sitting here, I'm 23. And Let's not jinx it here. I got, let's see, medical advances, technology, you know. 60, 70 years of life left. Maybe if I'm very, very lucky, if I continue my diet and no more ciggy, no more joint, no more drinky, of course. I've got a lot of time left on the planet, and I know a lot of you guys do as well. And to the older people out there in the audience, the legendary older people in the audience, the elders that truly understand, you know, and that's why you're on our side, you don't want to leave us with this bankrupt nation. I know that you don't. So to the older people that are like, yeah, but I don't want to be a Democrat and I don't want to go against Trump, wake up. Wake up! Wake up! Because I have to wake up every morning and deal with it, okay? And I know you do, too, at a certain level. I know everybody's suffering, everybody's struggling. But, you know, my granddad often says this, life's a process, right? and you're supposed to keep evolving, you know, until you die or whatever. You're supposed to keep getting better at what you do, and you're supposed to become a better person, much more of a connected person with God and everything relating to that. What are we doing in this country that our oldest class of people, the legends, people with the most information, a lot of them, most of them are voting for these policies and supporting these politicians? What does that say about what happened in this country over the past 50 years? What does that say about the loss of our agency and freedom and civil rights? I think it says a lot. We're going to get into it. I want calls next segment from the UK. 512-266-0642. I want calls from the UK. Let's get into what's happening over there to round out the show. The War Room. Rex Jones News on Twitter. Rex Jones News. Love you. Love you.
I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. Then I'll get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigley, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're VIP, you get surveys. And, you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting? Or what are you liking best? Or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top 2 or 3 every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like medical doctors, like that's the, oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa, man. I mean, like that, donkey. And then horse is good. Goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a Jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys. So you're going to have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, eh, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. It was women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa. It's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. It's almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're closing it out with a heavy one. We're talking about the nightmare in Belfast and things happening all around the UK, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And I want to remind listeners right now, I know it's past midnight over there in the UK, but the number to call in, whether you're an Englishman, a Scot, an Irishman, or a Welshman, I want you to call 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. I know you're out there. I know you're listening to me. Your voice needs to be heard, especially by your American brothers and sisters over here who actually might have the potential to do something about your oppression. So I want you to call in. I want to talk to you right now on the Alex Jones Network War Room. Let me break this down really quick. Nightmare in Belfast, Northern Ireland. A African migrant, a guy from Sudan, one of the worst places on earth, stabbing a white British man in the face and neck multiple times while he lies in the street as kind of like a conquering ritual. The knifeman screams in an unknown foreign language, "Hello!" as he attempts to behead the victim. Bystanders were slow to react, but eventually started hitting and kicking the terrorist in the head until police arrived. And these people, you people over there in the UK, over there in Britain, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you people are so cowed and weak and stripped of defense by your government that the people eventually run over and hit this guy in the head with a yard sign or whatever it is. And he's a weak little bastard. I've beat up little weak bastards like him in the street before. And of course he's a coward. He turns and runs away immediately. So they subdue him and they're able to get him down. But what happened before then? What happened when he's literally with a box cutter with a small knife slicing up this man's face? And then when they finally get him off, they say, "Oh, that's enough, mate. That's enough. We gotta stop now." He'd murder. He might do it to you too. Ice him. Ice him immediately. That's what I would have done. I would have been well within my rights here in Texas, and I would have done it, by the way. I heard my dad talk about bouncing his head off the pavement. I think that's too kind. I think there's other things you could do as well. I'm not even going to mention that here. But you think it's okay, as a Sudanese immigrant, as a refugee that's been given the privilege of coming to the West, you think it's okay to do your ritual, scarification rituals, where you have a guy in full mount, and you're cutting up his face, and then somebody hits you with the yard sign? Of course, you're a weak little B-word, so of course you're going to be taken down by that. And then, oh no, the government will protect me, because they literally have something called two-tier policing. That means they have policing for the white people, the native Europeans of the population, and then they have policing that's higher tier, you know, for all the ethnic groups that they've brought in, you know, the coalition of forces they brought in to replace the average Englishman or British person or Irish person or Scots person or Welsh person, right? And they say, hey, you know, you've been discriminated against somehow, even though, you know, you're thousands of miles away from us. You've been discriminated against 100 years ago or whatever. So when you come over here and you commit gang rape, when you come over here and you commit murder, when you come over here, you commit acid attack. Oh, you know, he's just a good boy. He didn't do anything. Give him a year in jail and let him out in 3 months for good behavior. But if you're an English person, if you're a British person, Irish person, Welsh person, Scots person, I want to be all inclusive. If you're somebody living in the United Kingdom, and you make a social media post critical of supporting welfare for illegal migrants and just migrants in general, they will send you to jail for 2 years. They will have can I say the F word? Can I say the bundle of sticks word? Yes or no? Okay. They'll have a powdered wig faggot presented for you on a stage, and they'll say, "These are grave offenses. You said you don't want to pay for migrant health care. 2 years, 4 years in prison." They'll do that to you. And then the Haji who's slitting people's throats out in the street, the British people or the Irish people, excuse me, forgive me. I know they're going to be mad at that. The people of the United Kingdom are so cowed that they're like, "Oh no, the cops are here. The cops are here. We can't hit him anymore. We got to stop." Even though he just sliced up your compatriot in the street, you're going to do nothing about it. Here's the thing. White, black, Mexican, we all have our differences. We all have our cultural heritage, our identities, whatever. I think that's all beautiful. Everyone should be proud of who they are. Be proud to be black, be proud to be brown, be proud to be white, be proud of everything you are, right? If one of these people was over here wearing a ridiculous turban or doing Allahu Akbar, like Sudanese murder rituals in the street, and they were doing it to anybody, any ethnicity, I know immediately Americans would put a stop to it. Americans would end the threat. Americans, unless they're somewhere like New York, California, where they're kind of cowed too and they don't have weapons, Americans, especially here in the South, that person gonna die immediately. And we're actually going to enjoy doing it too. And we're going to enjoy doing it because we're like sheepdogs and we're protecting our community. And, you know, an animal like this does not deserve to be protected. And I understand why they're rioting right now. This has triggered massive outrage over that two-tier policing, mass migration failures, and Keir Starmer's Labour government. He's like 20% popular, which is now pushing digital ID and anti-free speech online censorship. Where does that tie in? All right. You may ask yourself, What's going on with digital ID? So just like I told you a little bit earlier, if you are, you know, anti-paying for migrant healthcare or whatever, they'll put you in jail for 2 years. Well, soon, if you make a video, if you post any sort of dissent from the new ruling class that's being put above you of, you know, the migrant from another country that's been brought in by your government to destabilize and degrade the nation, if you're critical of them in any way online, if you back any one of these protests, back any one of these events, make a statement, any kind of support, they are going to have your digital footprint and they are going to send your ass to jail. Probably prison forever. Okay. And you know what? I've been thinking about this and it outraged me seeing that guy on the street, you know, cause like that's where I'm from. That's where my family's from. I'm vast majority of my blood, at least 60% is English and then German. And then there's some other stuff in there as well. I'm an Octoroon as well. You know, people know about that. And I'm Native American too. So like there's a whole mixture of things going on, but I'm much more than 60%, like definitely over like a third Welsh and other things like that, German, Germanic, you name it, right? So I look at it and I see a guy that looks like me in a country that I'm from, right? That my ancestors died in, right? It's supposed to be, hey, everyone has their homeland. Nigeria is for Nigerians. UK is for UK. Germany is for Germany. Japan is for the Japanese. China is for the Chinese. Russia is for the Russians, whatever, right? Oh, no. Because you're white, because you're European, because you did X, Y, Z 200 years ago or whatever, you have to now accept having your throat ritualistically slit in the street while your fellow compatriots are too afraid to do anything lest they be arrested and thrown in jail for racist discrimination. So we got problems in the U.S. We got a lot of issues, but we don't have this, at least not yet. You know, you can talk about Irina Zarudzko on the train. You can talk about some other things that have happened recently as well. It's America. All right. It's a wild west over here a little bit. When it comes to people being able to protect themselves and being able to say no, I know every single person that I know, every single person I'm associated with would immediately take care of that problem. Immediately. I'll just leave it at that. Like that guy, he wouldn't be an issue because he wouldn't be around because of various reasons, right? And, you know, I think that's for the betterment of society as well. If you behave in this way, if you engage in this behavior, this is why I say in my profile, I say I'm anti-war, but I'm also pro-death penalty, right? Because imagine if these people, like that dude in the turban, it's like, oh, I got my knife and you're not allowed to carry, white boy, I'm going to stab your ass and kill you. And then when the cops come, when I call the police, he's racist. He's racist. He said a racist thing against me. And your dirty little worm mom will hide the knife for you and your pig father will hold the guy as he's dying. In England, in Britain, in the home of my ancestors? I don't think so. And if I feel this way, you know, I've lived in Texas 200 plus years. You've taken the totality of my family since the beginning of America. We've been here since the Revolutionary War and even before that, Mayflower. Like it's a pretty crazy bloodline and lineage we got going on. If I feel this way, if I feel this outrage about a place that I have a distant connection to, a place that I revolted against and left, my ancestors, meaning me, right? I'm the collective of all that. I'm the latest model, right? Latest battle droid that's been generated. But if I'm this angry about it, how do people in the UK feel about it? Like, what is going on here? What is going on here? But seriously, how do people in the UK feel about this? Feel about, hey, you know, when does the last white British person die? You know, isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting to think about? When does that happen exactly? Is that what you support? Is that what you support? It's what your government supports. You know, inadvertently, unwittingly, it's what the migrants support by coming into your country, but they're only coming into your country because they know they can get free stuff and get away with murder. It's the politicians. It's the people on Downing Street. It's people in Parliament. It's your fake-ass, faggy-ass King Charles and all his weirdness. Those are the people you got to be out in the streets against. Those are the people you got to be protesting against. You know what? I can't advocate for anything. I can't tell you what you should do, but if you're in the UK, you should not be a fool. That's all I have to say. And all these people live this pampered life where, oh, they're the great heroes. And
well, we're supporting Ukraine. We're fighting for freedom across the world. It's important for our Western allies, you know, to engage in liberty and justice and European values.
And then European values, just a guy, a Sudanese guy going, just slicing you apart in the street. Please give me a break. Give me a break. Give me a break. Give me a break. Little Keir Starmer, it's time for you to go away, out of office, leave government, leave the UK. Maybe you should go move to Ukraine and have a gay sex with little Zelensky. You know, maybe that would be quite fun for them. Maybe that's better for everybody. Maybe we could say, hey, Zelensky, Keir Starmer, just get married, just be in that relationship, move to the south of Italy, and, you know, live peacefully for 5 years until the Russian assassination team is sent to do whatever. And that's the reality, right? All these people have blood on their hands. Zelensky covered in blood. Keir Starmer covered in blood. Both of their fellow citizens and people are supposed to protect, and of the people in the false conflicts they set up to murder, right? So you think about it like this way, and this is kind of wild to say, but it's true. We have more common cause with the people that we are fighting in various aspects right now than the people that run our government, meaning the American people, right? The American people don't want to see these wars. These other countries don't want to see these wars. It's our government that wants to see these wars. It's other governments, Ukraine, Israel, that want to see these wars. And until we wake up to the fact that we actually are in the driver's seat, that we are actually in the position to take pole position, to take command and control, and to understand that this is our government of and by and founded for the people with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is what we need to export around the world. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. That's what the UK needs. Instead of blockading Iran, instead of blockading Russia, instead of blockading China or whatever, how about we blockade the UK until they give their people free speech and guns? Right? If we're so pro-Second Amendment in America, why don't we want to export that to them too? They're getting acid attacked. They're getting stabbed. They're getting raped and the cops are laughing at them. Why don't they have guns to protect themselves? This would not happen in my home. This would not happen in my state. This would not even happen in this liberal-ass city. The British people, the European people, must be given agency unto which and into which they're able to conduct their own affairs and mandate and choose their own destiny. Their destiny should not be taken from them, all right? It should not be taken from them by a corporate class that wants to kill the entire planet. Freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. Do they not deserve that? Have they not earned that? Look at him. Look at him. 18 years old, one drink, walking home. Random retard in a turban decides he's tough, that he is a bad man, and he stabs him with a brutal knife. And then the bastard's family, the worm, slimy, mongrel family, they coalesce around the dying boy. The mother calls the cops and hides the knife. The father cradles the dying child and says, "It's our time now. It's our country. It doesn't belong to you anymore." And the cops come, and Henry says, "I've been stabbed." The child says, "I've been stabbed." The 18-year-old says, "I've been stabbed. I'm dying right now. I'm being murdered." And the police officer says, "I don't think you have, mate. I don't think you have, mate. I don't think you have, mate." I was about to say something very nasty about the police officer. Shouldn't do that. So I'm not going to do that. But I would say take a long walk off a short cliff because you're responsible for that kid's murder. They could have filled that wound in the chest cavity and the lungs. They could have kept him alive. Everyone knows this. Doctors have spoken on it. Man. But hey, white lives don't matter, right? You know, it's just all the other ones, I guess, you know? And hey, Russian lives certainly don't matter. Iranian lives certainly don't matter. Gazan lives certainly don't matter. You see how it's not just race. It's all of us. We're all being disenfranchised in the groups that are doing these crimes. The evil Sudanese retard who's brought into the country, he's a product of his environment, and he never should have been in our environment, okay? It's like being mad at a scorpion for biting you in your bed. Who put the scorpion there? Very, very clear what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Earlier today, Labor got hit with 14 separate community notes for trying to use their under-16 social media ban to install spyware on British phones. Not only will they let you get killed in the street, not only will they implement the digital ID, they will put the spyware on your phone to track and trace everything you do. Do you have a country? No, you don't. You're already second-class citizens. This is already slavery, in my opinion, and it's truly disgusting. I'm going to this Alex Jones Live article. UK authorities threaten Brits who share footage of horrific attack by African migrant as Northern Ireland braces for citizen revolt. United Kingdom authorities are scrambling to prepare for planned protests across the country following the latest horrific crime perpetrated by a third world migrant on British soil. Witness footage showing a white male being butchered by the knife-wielding Sudanese suspect in the middle of a street in Belfast, Northern Ireland on Monday night has dominated social media across the West. You're damn right it has. It's like Hellraiser. He's slicing up his throat, like yelling at him, like, "You've been conquered. This is my country now." You're damn right people are watching. Several bystanders eventually intervened, the weakest people around. Let me just say that. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should have finished the problem. That's all I got to say. You know, even if you got life in prison for it, be a hero. Be a hero. Finish the problem. Defend innocent life. While the victim apparently survived, he's lost vision in one eye. He was hospitalized in critical condition. See if we can get his face up. Let's show people the hospital wounds. People need to see. Man, he wouldn't have any teeth by the time I was done with him. He wouldn't be able to walk. He wouldn't be able to talk. He wouldn't be able to breathe. Because I'd defend the innocent life, of course. UK authorities have issued thinly veiled threats against citizens who disseminate the gruesome video or publicly express their outrage. See, they're not free. They've been conquered, right? And they're not even conquered by the Sudanese. They're conquered by the government. Look at that. They have to hit him with the sign, and then they're so scared of it continuing. Look at him. He's look at what this bastard did at the behest and beck and call and orders, basically, of the British government. Okay, they aided and abetted this criminal to get into the United Kingdom and to do these crimes. Look at that face. That's Hellraiser. That's hundreds and hundreds of stitches just on the face, ladies and gentlemen. Man, cursing, but seriously, you don't do that here. If you do that here, you ain't going to be breathing. Seriously, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Even the homeless people that act a little schizo and act a little crazy, you're like, hey, man, I'm armed right now. That behavior changes real quick. Even if they're loopy and talking to the signs or whatever, hey, I got that 9mm on me. I got that Glock on me. I got that Sig Sauer on me. Oh, attitude changes real quick. They'll walk away from you in 5 seconds, and they won't say a word, and they'll look down at the ground while they do it because they know you're an armed patriot. Whether you're white, black, brown, it doesn't matter. You're like a knight. You defend innocent life with the rights that you've been given. The Founding Fathers gave you a right to carry a weapon and to defend others and yourself with it. That is what we are called to do. We see a vicious monster doing street ritualistic executions in the street, not hidden with a plastic sign. Like, you couldn't have, like, picked up a manhole cover and, like, dropped it on his head or something? Theoretically, you know, if there's no other thing around, you got to do it. You couldn't, I'm just thinking about what you got in the street. You got rocks in the street. You got maybe some metal in the street. Maybe you can gank him in the neck real quick. Like, there's weapons all around you. And, you know, you're seeing a crime being committed. You're seeing a guy being attempted murdered. You should be able to do something about that, right? Wake up! Where's the fighting spirit of the people that conquered the entire planet? All right? We're y'all's first sons, first children. We're left with this embarrassment? Seriously, and I'm not talking about people burning down innocent people's homes. I don't support that. Go to Parliament. Go to Keir Starmer's. Go to the MP's house and bullhorn in front of them. That's what I call for. That's what I support. But, like, the thing is, like, after you're going to have this big outrage, the people there that are watching this attempted murder, slaughter, ritualistic scarification ritual, conquering humiliation ritual, they just go, bonk, bonk. I would have gone, bam, 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 bam. And I would have killed that bastard. And I would have done it to protect innocent life. And next time you see something like this happen, and you're over there with your little plastic sign, maybe you look around, you notice there's a rock on the street as well, and what you do with that is up to you. It's not up to me. How much longer are we going to take this? Not just white people, but people of the entire world, wake up. We're all being pit against each other in an effort to make us slaughter each other and hate each other. When the real people who did this, who destabilized our governments and our nations, have nothing in common with us. They don't even care about race unless they're Jewish or whatever. It's all about transnational capital, replacement migration, money, and then eventually culling and killing of all humans until there's less than 500 million people left on the planet. Okay? And the refugees, the migrants that come over here that have these crazy ideologies and do these crazy things, they're unaware of that. It's just like something that's been placed in your bed, right? So we don't want it in our bed anymore. We don't want any refugees from Sudan. We don't want any refugees from Somalia. We don't want any refugees from one of these war-torn hell pit countries. None of them coming over here ever again. Do you know what that takes? Do you know what that takes, ladies and gentlemen? Because I just laid out a very strong anti-immigration, pro-nationalist case for why countries need to expel and exclude these types of immigrants. You know what that costs? That costs us being a peaceful nation, or you know what that costs? That makes it so, to have these things, we have to be a peaceful nation. You know, you look at Afghanistan. You know, the second largest migrant population in the UK is from Afghanistan. Huh. Why is that? Maybe because we had a giant war and blew up a bunch of those people's houses and killed a bunch of them? So then they come over to us because we're like sympathetic or feel sorry about it, and they come over here and have third world? How about we don't have the crazy war in general so they can just have a nice place where they live and we can just have a nice place where we are? Sudan is literally like the the hell pit of the planet. It makes Somalia look like a cupcake factory. Literally, Sudan is like civil war for like 20, 30 years. You think of a child soldier, you think of like crazy resource wars, think of like crazy militant, like theocratic crimes and stuff like that. You're thinking about Sudan. That's like the number one place. Why the hell would you put this person in your country? Why the hell would you do it? Well, it's because we destabilized Sudan along with all the other African Arab nations, right? Effort to consolidate power and money and wealth for ourselves, just talking about the West broadly in general. That's why you have him. You have him because your corrupt government 50 years ago voted to exploit those people, and they exploited those people. They made their world a hell pit, and then they brought them over once they were destroyed to destroy you. It's almost beautiful in its simplicity of how you exterminate not just one people, but all people on the planet. You just get them all to fight each other, and then you do genocide, and you make people infertile. That's all you got to do. The people at the top are real sick bastards. Bill Gates, you're a real cute and cuddly demon monster. What was that you're just playing? Go back to it. Shows a disabled elderly lady entering on Monday evening going to church, only to be followed in by an invader who attacks and robs her of her necklace. Yeah, we need public executions for people like this. Let's bring back the gallows. You know, didn't they used to do that in the UK? They're very serious about that. Let's bring back the gallows for people like that that are, you know, ganking innocent disabled grandmothers in the street. They're doing it because they're not afraid of the consequences. They simply don't care, right? So we have to provide actual consequences. Same thing in the United States. We have pedophiles that get 3 to 5 years in prison, and they probably get time off for good behavior, and they're let out, and you're a sex offender, but you're still alive. You're still a human being. You know, like, if you rape somebody or you molest a child, you do these things, you ought to die for it. You really should. And that's why we got to take, of course, accusations of these things very seriously. But you got credible evidence somebody raped, murdered, or, you know, did something to a kid, you got to ice them immediately. And they don't have that attitude over in these countries. They're like community service, social worker. It's the discrimination that made him stab him 8 times in the gut and then lie to the police officers, and his whole maggot family covered up the lie. What? My dad was saying this earlier. He was thinking about it and just contrasting the mindset. And he was like, it's crazy. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because it's not designed to make sense. It's cognitive dissonance. In the same way you watch a superhero movie and you buy into the narrative like, oh, he's Clark Kent, but he's from Krypton, so he can fly, and the sun gives him powers, and he's super strong, and he's got lasers out of his eyes, and he shoots freezing breath. You're like, well, it's the migrant, and the migrant is discriminated against over in the UK, even though the UK gives them welfare benefits, healthcare, access to everything, preferential treatment, literal two-tier policing. So because they're oppressed, we have to oppress you. And by the way, they're not oppressed. They're actually oppressing you as well. Wake up. It's time to wake up. And I know y'all are all asleep over there, literally, as I'm saying this, which kind of makes it funny. I know it's like 1 a.m. over there in the UK right now. But hey, when you see this in the morning, because I know a lot of y'all are viewers and listeners and really love and appreciate the show, clip it. Clip it and share it with your friends and family and whatever. You know, I'm an American. I can say whatever I want. I'm free. I'm free. Ain't no chains on me. I'm free. You guys, not the same thing. So we've got to export our First Amendment to you so you can have free speech, number one. And we've got to export our Second Amendment to you so you can have gun rights, number two. And once you have gun rights, you'll notice that, you know, these people are acting all big and bad because they can carry a knife and you can't. They're gonna be polite and they're going to mind their manners, because they mind their manners in Texas. All right. When you act schizo and crazy and try to attack people in Texas, people pull out a gun and they cap your ass. So I'd like to see that in UK. I'd like to see, you know, the return to, the Magna Carta and the actions and actualization of the British citizen into truly, they used to say an Englishman's home is his castle. Well, an Englishman's home is, you know, a brothel, and he's a prostitute that gets railed. That's what it seems like now today. So is your home a castle? Englishman, Scotsman, Irishman, Welshman? Is it a castle? Are you your own king, or are you not? That's what I call you to ask yourself and clip what I just said. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I love you all. Best show on the internet.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component
running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.